Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome again to the Saturday edition. We are glad that you are here, so let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful for this opportunity that you have brought us into this room, Lord, for this topic and for all the things you have in store for us. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will speak, O Lord, through us, O Lord. Open, Lord, our mouth and fill, as we open our mouth, fill it with good things, O Lord. Let your spirit take over this room. And Lord, people come in and share their experiences and share and put in heads together to make things better for everyone in their lives and in their relationships. We pray, O Lord, for your direction. We pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us as we speak today and as we share one with another. Let your word reign supreme. Let the word of the Lord take over and take authority over every other thing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for everyone representing and those who are going to speak today. We thank God for them. We pray, Lord, that you will speak through every one of us as oracles of God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and I yield my mic. Welcome, everyone. God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, amen, amen. Thank you, honey, for the prayers. Welcome indeed, everybody. Praise the Lord. Sister Rita, Brother Anno, Brother Duke, thanks for joining. Others joined a little earlier. Others are still going to be joining. We trust that it is well with everybody. Well, this is our marriage and family ministry edition of Walking with God. And we thought we would do this once a month to kick things off. But, you know, there was a time a few years ago that we actually had this marriage, it's called the Marriage Ministry House. It's still actually out there, where we did this more frequently. You know, back in the day, in that day, we used to have a number of houses. We had the, you know, Walking with God. We had the Marriage Ministry. We had the House of Faith. We had this and that. You know, but we've now consolidated everything over the last 3 years or so to Walking with God. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to do that. So, if we have topics to discuss on marriage and family, it will still be on this platform. But that's the one we're using now. You know, so, and indeed, you know, whether it's marriage, whether it's faith, whether it's whatever we're discussing, it's all part of our Walking with God experience. As we go through life, the Lord must be a part of that, a critical part, actually, of that. Life without the Lord in it is meaningless at best. You know, so we know that. Last time, this is the second in the series, monthly series that we started for this particular platform. Last time, we laid a foundation for an understanding of, you know, what was God's original purpose for, you know, marriage and family. And we covered, you know, various aspects. I think we had a lively discussion too. We're hoping that we will have a lively discussion as well. I want to set the stage for how we're going to do things today, similar to what we did last time. I will share some things. Lady Ebon will share some things. We'll then throw it out for everybody to share some things. Now, I want to say a few things before we get started. Number one, just because we are conducting, Lady Ebon and myself are conducting this series, doesn't mean we are presenting ourselves as having all the answers. Somebody's got to conduct this series. So We may have some experiences because of what we, I mean, the time that we've been together. You all have experiences as well. So, and there may be some that have no experience. We intend that through this series we'll cater to, you know, every aspect, whether people are trying to find love and get married for the first time, we'll be catering to that. Whether you've been married before and now somehow find yourself single, we'll be catering to that. We hope even along the way to cater to a singles connection. You never know what God can do. We want to be able to cater to, you know, various levels of marriage. Some people have been married longer, and some people are even newlyweds. We have something, they may have something to gain, and we may also have something to gain from them. Everybody has experiences, you know, and some of them are similar, some are different. But these lessons and these shares, as we share with one another, will help us to realize that, well, we may not be all alone. Somebody may be facing something or trying to figure something out. And then when they hear from others, you may realize that, well, my goodness, that issue was not, you know, unique to me. And other people have either gone through it or are going through it, and we can learn from one another like that. Today's topic, by the grace of God, will be on some critical components, for building these lasting relationships, companionship, that may lead to friendship. We'll talk about those two things, companionship, friendship, together. Then there is the aspect of love and trust. Lasting, in our experience, my wife and I, some of these elements have played, key roles. And it's been our discovery over the years, talking not only managing our own relationship, but talking to others, discover that, marriages that are based on, friendship, love, and trust may be healthier and lead to happier relationships, So we will also be trying to talk about, what's a healthy marriage and what's a happy marriage. And what are the things that are important? Praise the Lord. Last time, one of the things we talked about from the beginning was what God said, in the book of, Genesis, chapter 2, when he was looking, he had made so many, things in his creation, and he looked at the man. He brought the man, all the animals and so forth, to name the man, to whatever he named them and so forth. But for the man himself, there was no helpmeet found for him. So that's what the Lord said. Adam gave names to all cattle and all fowl and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet or suitable for him, So God had seen that too, because that's verse 20 of Genesis 2. But in verse 18, he had seen that. Said, well, it is not good for the man that he should be alone. I'm going to make him a suitable help for him. But when the Lord brought all those animals and created them, brought them to Adam and so forth, named them, those could not really be his companions. So, God did something amazing. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man and then took one of his ribs. And so there's always going to be that forever connection. It's interesting to note that when the Lord would create what we call woman, he didn't just create her standalone, but took something from the man. And so that would suggest that the woman would feel some kind of a gap in the man. When you find the right person, there's always going to be that connection and that longing for that, connection, that missing piece. Because the woman was formed by taking a rib, one of the ribs from the man, closed up the flesh, and made him a woman out of it. The Lord already knew there would be a woman, put that knowledge in Adam as well. When he woke up and looked at it, that knowledge was transferred to him, and called him woman. Called her woman. God called her that first. It was in his mind. Transferred it to Adam, and he saw her. He said, wow, this is one of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She was called woman because she was taken out of man. Well, that piece was taken out of man. When they come together again, it's complete. And it forms a completion. So that's important. But we see from something that God said about, it seemed like companionship or, walking together or helping out and so forth was in his mind. And so that's why we will talk about companionship. We will also talk about the different phases or stages that can lead to a healthy marriage and a happy, sustained marriage. So friendship will also be considered as a critical part of it. And then there is love, all these things that develop, and even, trust, building trust through those relationships can help to sustain those relationships. So let's talk about it. Let's consider friendship, for instance. Friendship, is a critical part of any relationship. Before we think of marriage, just think of your relationship, platonic friendships or whatever, just think about it. Friends, the things that friends, like to do. Spending time together and so forth, and all of that. We've discovered that, marriages that develop out of, friendship and love, tend to thrive better than marriages that are consumed or consummated based on something else. So friendship, even without thinking of it in terms of marriage, enhances connections. When you are, when you develop that friendship with someone, you are more connected to them than a person that's not your friend. Everybody understands that. And when it comes to marriage, it's no different. If you marry your friend, do better in that marriage. Friends over time, whether they marry or don't get married together, it's not every friend that you have that you will marry. Some are, women have some girlfriends and so forth. You're not going to marry them, but you learn through those relationships that, the benefits of friendships? What are the things that you did with your friends as you were, you know, growing up? Even some people who married their childhood friends ended up marrying childhood friends. We've seen that some of those marriages, you know, develop into, you know, strong relationships. I mean, very, very strong. They've had time to know each other, even through their friendships that started earlier in their lives. You know, consider that on one spectrum, and on the other spectrum, people who met each other just briefly and then jumped into marriage, you know, and they didn't have this time of discovery. You know, so friendship will also enhance emotional intimacy over time, you know. If you build a friendship, or if you are in a friendship relationship, you know, of course, these things must be pure. We're not talking about the ways of the world. People say, you know, they're jumping into bed with people and so forth who they are now married with. That's absolutely condemned, and we condemn that. You know, but we're talking about, you know, just pure friendships, which may lead to marriage. You know, at the time of the friendship, may not even be thinking of marriage at the time. But, you know, we've seen that when that foundation is there, it builds a stronger foundation if that develops into marriage. I mean, what do friends do? You know, besides companionship, you know, there's playfulness. You know, you can laugh and do things together. You share things and so on. You know, and you have, you know, healthy communications. Communication is critical, of course. You'll find out, you know, in marriage. And, I mean, you don't divorce your friend just because, you know, you had, you know, a fight. People love to make up with their friends. And, you know, if they disagree over something, they make up, they go out, hang out, you know, do whatever together. It's a good experience. It's a good feeling. Well, you bring that into marriage, you discover that, I mean, you don't need to be breaking up in your marriage just because something didn't happen right. You know, over time, a friend is there for you, you know, resiliency and so forth. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 talks about, you know, some things about friendship, you know. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here and there, show you that even the Bible, you know, recognizes this type of relationship. And it's a good thing to have this relationship. A friend loveth at all times. You know, brother is born for adversity. You know, loveth at all times means a sustained relationship, even through, you know, arguments, you know, good times, bad times, tragedy or whatever. A friend will be there with you and for you. So that, you know, there's a strong basis even in the scripture. There are many things that friendship provides as we go through life. And it's, you can think of it hand in hand with companionship as well. You know, they complement each other, but they're not necessarily the same thing. You may have, you know, companionship with somebody that is not initially your friend. Maybe you are paired together on a job or assignment or whatever, and they're there to watch your back, or you watch their back and so forth. And people go into critical mission fields. You don't have to go alone. Jesus himself did not send out his disciples one by one. He sent them out two by two. You know, they are supposed to provide support for each other. They may or may not necessarily be friends initially, but yeah, that working together and all of that may eventually lead to some friendship. We're not even talking about whether they are thinking of marrying or not marrying. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos chapter 3 verse 3 asks. You know, so that walking together, it's a kind of a companionship. You are doing things together. And we'll find out that that's also a critical basis for marriage. You know, if you're not, if you marry somebody that you don't agree with on things that are critical to your life, like your faith, it's number one. If you don't agree on the critical points of faith, that marriage is going to fall apart very quickly. You know, if you don't agree on other things that are critical to you, what's critical to you? You know, friendship. During friendship, you may discover, you know, the things that your friend likes or dislikes. And if you're thinking of marriage without, not beyond just friendship, friendship's a great place and a critical place to start. If you get to know them better, you get to do things and so forth, you know, it leads into what we call courtship, you know, as people say dating, this and that and so forth. I don't particularly like this subject of dating per se, the way it is talked about today, because it suggests, you know, you date one person, you date another person and so on. You know? So I'm not a proponent of that, you know, but I'm a proponent of a strong relationship, healthy, godly relationship that leads to courtship. In a period, you're thinking of getting married and you are still doing discovery. There's no rush into it. You know, that the friendship leads to that phase, which is, you know, developing, you know, something that's even beyond friendship. You begin to be very fond of each other. You begin to actually love them and want to spend time with them and so on and so forth. You know, those are necessary components as you go through life and developing this concept of marriage. And a marriage should be a result of connections in other areas. You know, you are spiritually connected, right? And remember that God made man as a triune being. We got spirit, we got soul, we got a body. If we don't pay attention to spirit and soul in relationship and it's just body, then it may not last very long. It may fall apart. It must be spiritually connected. To be spiritually connected is based on the things that we're talking about. You have, you know, the same beliefs or at least similar, and you enjoy to develop a common spiritual base together. Very, very important. Of course, the soul is where all the emotions are. You enjoy the connection of friendship, wanting to spend time together and all of that, you know, that can foster intimacy. And when we're talking about intimacy, I'm not just talking sexual intimacy. I'm just talking of closeness. The word, when you hear the word intimacy, don't think of it always as, you know, sexual. Intimacy is a word that defines closeness, you know. And that intimacy, there's another element of it, you know, it's trust. You can't be intimate, not talk about sexually now, just intimate, just connected, you know, at a level like that with someone that you don't trust. You're not going to share your feelings, your inner feelings, where the shoe hurts and that kind of thing. It's someone you don't trust. And so these things all work together. Friendship in particular is so key. You know, that's why I'm spending a little bit of time talking about it. Even when you are married, you know, you must continue to be friends. Hopefully you married your friend. And there was a question I asked one time. I said, well, to those who are married, did you marry the one? And did you marry your friend? You know, and so forth. I mean, these things are important. The friendship portion, so key into developing relationships. You know, if a friendship develops into love, which and then eventually develops into marriage, that's more likely to last longer than the marriage that skips that process. Loving your friend more than just, I mean, the platonic love may develop into, you know, the other kind of love, romantic love. At that point, you know, to maintain the sanctity of your temple, which is, you know, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the romantic love starts to develop. That's the time that you get married. But the Bible says it is better to marry than to burn. You know, and that's our testimony. And that's why we married so young. Wife and I, we met and developed some friendship. And as the friendship was going on, you know, one thing leading to another. It was all clean. We were not messing around or doing any such thing. But we were very young. In fact, the things we like to do, that's why we have this strong foundation till today. Because we were connected. The connection was in a biblical ministry setting. That's how we met. And the things we enjoyed to do then together were around that. Evangelism, doing this, doing that, going to prayer meetings and so forth. And fellowship, adding that fellowship along those things and friendship developed there. You know. And so, but the more time you spend with somebody, the more and more time you spend with somebody, that's you starting to develop some feelings for them. That's why there must be boundaries. And people are married, there need to be boundaries, you know, because if you start spending more time with somebody else who's not your wife or your husband, their feelings will develop. And that's why people don't spend, you know, put those boundaries there. You're going to get into real trouble because those things, that time spent together, lead to that. Okay, one thing led to another. We started to become more friendly with that. And then eventually, it looked like it was going to become romantic. Gotta put the brakes on it. We can't do this because, you know, you go in that direction and we have to figure out if we want to get married. You know, if I want to marry this person and continue this thing, I'm enjoying it. But, you know, if I don't, then I gotta stop. I can't do that. You can't lead them on. You know, they can't do that. Now, brace myself, prayed about it. I would look for some signs that the Lord would show. Meanwhile, she also was doing the same thing. Once we figured it out, I asked her about it. She said yes. Then it got even closer, and we knew that there was, you know, something is developing here. And then we said, okay, fine. We need to get married. Because if you don't marry, you're going to go into a situation, compromising situations that will lead to sin and unrighteousness and breaking down the sanctity of your temple. That's not good. That's why we got married so early. And when I wanted to get married, I told my parents, what? You're too young to marry. I said, no. If you're not too young to engage in fornication, then you're not too young. And I explained to them, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And, you know, if we don't get married now, something may develop. And we're trying to put guardrails there. Okay. Because I was younger than the rest of my siblings, and those other ones I didn't marry, they thought, well, it's inappropriate. How can you marry before all the older ones? So I say, well, that's their life. This is my life. So that could lead to marriage. When it does lead to marriage, if you started out with friendship, you've had time to know them, it's great. It's a great feeling. And, you know, if you marry a total stranger, you're going to be in deep trouble. Another thing was, you know, when I was marrying the woman who is now my wife, I realized that I would be marrying somebody who would be a ministry partner. That's a tremendous blessing, or a prayer partner. And I've often said to people, if you marry the right person, you'll have a prayer partner, a ministry partner through life. If you marry the wrong person, you will have a prayer point all the time. You will be struggling, you know, in that thing, because there was no time of discovery. You didn't know if they were the right person or not. You just jumped into it. You're going to have regrets. A lot of prayer points. I marry the right person, you have a prayer partner instead of a prayer point. So keep that in mind. And that's important for marriages that are developing, you know, out of friendship and out of love. What about trust? Well, trust is the component that is so critical. You know, you have to build it. It's earned, it's built, but, you know, successes, shared successes and so forth come from trusting. You've got to trust your partner, your spouse. Even in other relationships, business relationships, there's no trust, it's not going to work. A business partner, you can't trust each other, that thing's going to crumble even from the start. You know, there's going to be underhanding, you know, dealing and so forth. You know, there's no trust. Even in sports, you know, you got to trust the other person to engage with. You know, if you're in a relay race, I learned a lot of things because I did this kind of sports. The sports that I was engaged in at the beginning of my younger days was not always single sports. I was always in, you know, team sports. Team sports, you got to trust your teammate. You know, if you're playing basketball, for instance, the clock is winding down. You are in a bad position. You got the ball, but you're in a bad position. You can't put up the shot. Your teammate is open. You know they're in a better position to put up that shot. If you don't trust them to give them that ball, you may lose that game. You know, when the game is on the line. Yes, trust is powerful stuff. And, if you are always witch hunting your spouse, that marriage is going to break down very quickly. Of course, trust has to be earned. We'll speak more about these things later on. Let me share a few other scriptures quickly, and I will turn it over to Lady Evan to share some things too before we turn it over in general for discussions. Here are a few other scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, you know, it talks about companionship and so forth. Two are better than one, it says, you know, in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. They have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But the person that is alone is a warning to him when he falls, because there's nobody to help him. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. Well, how can one have, you know, be warm alone? And then also in spiritual battles, one is different than two. You know, you know, if one prevail against him, then two shall stand against him. And then a threefold cord with the Lord in your midst, that's powerful. Remember, one shall chase 1,000, two put to flight, not even chasing now. You put to flight 10,000. Because now you have the power. And then it's a geometrical multiplication that you can, the power that comes from two of you being together, powerful thing. You know, and that's why it's critical for you to be united. If you're not united in your faith, you cannot have this power or spiritual force. You know, couples, married couples that base their relationship on a shared shared values, Christian values. They become a powerful, you know, power couple. You know, the devil will fear them. And that's why he will try to bring discord, break them up, because they're powerful like that. You know, so here are a couple more scriptures quickly. how things work together, how companionship, friendship, love, trust, how do all these things work together? We can't cover all this in one day, so I will speak on some, Lady Evan will speak on some, but we probably will cover some more later on, because we also want others to share, so it's not just the two of us talking about it only. But, let's read a couple of things. Now, you want to really read about some love things, romantic things, read the Songs of Solomon. But let me read to us in the book of Psalms, Psalms 85. I want to show even how things work together. In verse 10, it says, mercy and truth are met together. Well, I wrote my own piece there. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Well, okay. So I wrote my own little one. It's kind of like, companionship and friendship have met together. love, and togetherness, kindness have kissed each other. This is how these things develop. He's talking about spiritual things here, but I'm talking about marital things. But same thing, same concept. They come together, they walk together like that. It's powerful stuff. And what we are looking for, is not only a healthy marriage. A healthy marriage is built on, fundamental principles, if people understand that. But we want a happy marriage. You are happy when you are with your friends. Most people hang out, even when they get married, they still long to go and hang out with their friends. So they have girls' night. They leave their husbands, they suppose spend some time together. But they still cherish that. Well, bring that into your marriage as well. Take time out. Ask your husband out. It's not only the man that has to ask the woman out all the time. Ask your husband out on a love night, or whatever, and have fun together. Share a meal, share an adventure. These are what things that friends do. Travel together, share these things together. It leads into, builds powerful, powerful relationships. Well, I'm out of time because I want to leave some portion for Lady Evan to talk about before we, before we talk. I have enough material to speak on this, not written down, but in my head, to speak on this for 2 hours. But I'm going to just take about these 35 or 40 minutes, talk about it, and then I'll yield to Lady Evan. So today's topic is on building a strong relationship through companionship, friendship, love, and trust. Trusting your spouse and loving them through thick and thin, and remembering that they are friends and still being friendly. These are the things that sustain a marriage. Otherwise, you're going to bail out quickly, but we don't bail out on our friends that easily. Why should you bail out on your spouse? And they're your friend as well. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to leave it here. I'm sure the things that Lady Evan will talk about will complement some of these. And then we'll come back. At the end of that, we'll open it up. You will also be able to share different things. We have not exhausted the topic. We're just starting on it. So stay tuned as we go through this. Thank you for listening. I'll turn it over to Lady Evan now for her share.
Amen, amen. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. And welcome again to this session of Saturday. Marriage, companionship, friendship, love, and trust. And thank you, Pastor, my dear husband, for the presentation. you did well. And thank you everyone that is here. And just like you said, we are not claiming to be the expert, but we know we have many people in this room. My hearts go out to all of you that have been married at one time or the other, or that have been in a long-term relationship or marriage. We greet you, and we hope you'll be able to help us out in this marriage workshop, because we're not claiming to be the expert. Everybody has something to share in this. However, thank you again for coming in. So the topic for today is building companionship, love, and trust in a marriage. And just like Pastor said, the first thing that happens between two people, you know, is friendship. You know, there's something they call chemistry. You know, they say, oh, they have chemistry together. You cannot be friends with somebody if you don't have chemistry with them. That means you have something in common with that person. So as a result, you become friends. For some reason, you're attracted to something about them, and they're attracted to something about you. And both of you kind of have, you can get along as friends. You can see eye to eye. You have the same idea about things, you know, and then the friendship develops. But if that is not even there, that chemistry is not even there at all, there's no way you can be friends with that person, or that friendship can go anywhere. And there's so many things that contributes to a friendship, you know, that develops into a friendship. One of it that Pastor have gone through is the time that you spend even together. If you find yourself in a relationship, so to speak, you know, I remember when Facebook first started, they used to talk about in a relationship. That means they are speaking to someone, they are eyeing someone, you know, there's a relationship going on with somebody. And it could be they have constant contact with that person. There's, you know, there's another thing they call constant contact in technology, where you constantly contact a person or constantly. So it can also happen. It helps too in developing friendship and relationship. You know, someone you can talk to easily, somebody that is relatable to you, that you can call on the phone, that you, if you have anything on your mind, you feel comfortable to talk to that person. So if that's not in a marriage, that's where marriages start from. You have to have this person as a friend first, and then it can develop to other things. And there are some things that will make it grow into that, as to mature into the position where you're saying, okay, let's get married. Because it gets to a point where that person and yourself, you're always seeing each other. And it gets to that point that you feel like, hey, why don't we see each other every day? And then when it gets to that point where you have to see that person on a daily basis, then you know that this person, you've got to get married. There's no way out, you know, because you're so much in love with that person. You see that you're talking to them every day, even in a long distance relationship. And, you know, you can actually maintain a long distance relationship by keeping that contact, you know, on a daily basis. Or finding it a good time to connect. Maybe, you know, determining what time, making time for each other to have a conversation, praying together or something like that. So you develop that friendship that gets into something I would call romantic, and then you realize that you have to get married because it has gone to the point that you can't go any longer, you know, with this kind of relationship. It will be a torture, you know, to be doing that. So, relationship, Christian marriage is designed as a covenant of companionship, as we read in Genesis and so on, rooted in friendship, sacrificial love, which is similar to Christ and the church, and mutual trust. You have to trust this person. And trust is not something, hey, trust me. You have to earn that trust. If you, at any time, your trust is shaking or you did not earn that trust, or for any reason, you put yourself in a position where you cannot be trusted, it's going to be very hard for you to get that trust back. So trust is something that you have to earn by the way if you're not forthcoming, if you're not faithful in your dealings, you know, even the tiniest little truth, you have to tell it. You cannot lie to your spouse. You cannot lie to your friend. If you tell the truth, and you know, this, it's easily observable. You can't hide it. So if you tell the truth to your friend all the time, even in a relationship, they will trust you. They will trust you. So, but if for any reason, you lose that trust, then, you know, your friendship will be broken. It serves as a source of support with your spouses. You know, you call, you know, by each other's primary confidant. You are a confidant to your spouse. You're a helper. You're a friend at the same time. This bond is strengthened through shared faith, intentional, daily nurturing. You know, let me emphasize that daily nurturing and vulnerability. You are vulnerable. You can tell your person your deepest secret, everything in your heart. You can't keep anything from them. I remember somebody, my husband tells me, I know you can't keep any secret for me. You know, and I say, wow, how can I keep this? You know, because you get to that point that everything, you're like a book that your partner can read you. You are just like a book. You tell them everything. They tell you everything. And, you know, vice versa like that. You know, we keep secret more than the other. But some people can't keep secret. I'm one of the people that cannot. I don't have any secret, period. I don't keep secrets. If anything is on my mind, it's whatever you see is what you get. I tell it like it is. So trust, if you have secret in your marriage, it's going to break it up. So don't keep secrets with your spouse. Get away from secrets. And just like that scripture that you read in Ecclesiastes 4:9, that two are better than one. You know, you have to be intentional. Two are better than one. You have to put heads together to resolve your situation. You have to be able to walk together. And another scripture says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, can two walk together except they be agreed? In that case, and that is in Amos 3:3, say, can two walk together except they be agreed? There was a time with this scripture, there was a time a young couple, you know, I think they were having issues in their marriage and so on. And then I posted this scripture and I said, well, there was a time I just got this thing. I just put scriptures on Facebook and then say something about it. So, and then the young couple, the husband, you know, called me or put a notation under my posting that you don't know what you have done for us with this posting that you just did, that it has helped our marriage. Because what I did was I put this scripture, can two walk together except they be agreed? And that you can use this scripture turning around and say, okay, even if we don't see eye to eye, okay, if we start going out together, working together, something will develop. All right? Something will develop. But if you don't even have time to do that, but just make it a duty. For instance, let's say there was a time, you know, my husband and I, you know, I know now we don't really have time, or you knew at the beginning of this working with God. I would tell you, sometimes we'll be out in the park and be doing the working with God. You know, so you have to have a time that strengthens your relationship. Working together. If you have been doing it, we need to get back to that now, because I think what happened was I started going to the gym. I stopped going to, and then everything just stopped somehow, you know, and then we got so busy and so on. But we need to get back to that. We need to get back to going out together, spending that precious time. Just talk about things. Even when when you're talking with your friends, you talk about silly things, right? You can talk about silly things, you know, funny things, have fun with one another. It doesn't matter. Just have fun. Have fun. Talk about, you know, we have some things that we talk about and we just laugh and laugh and so on. And that's what you do with your friends when you have friends. I know we also have a family friend, a couple friend. We have that relationship with them. Anytime we go visit them, we always come up with this funny story that, you know, we share between the two couples. You know, we bring it up and then we start laughing and laughing and laughing. And, you know, it's a good thing. You know, this is like couple friends, you know, try to make friends with other couples too, you know, couple to couple. If you're married, you know, or if you're not married, have a friend you can call and you can talk to them and just laugh together and just have fun. You know, sometimes you do some funny things like my kids are my friends, by the way. Also, and my husband, they're all my friends. Sometimes I do silly things, like just send them a picture. And then they started laughing and said, "Bob, what is this? What did you send us?" or something. You know, and you can just, I send my husband 2 pictures, as you say, or send them some flowers or something. You know, I mean, just online. Just send them something and they say, "What's that?" or something. And it brings some kind of friendship. It develops into some kind of relationship that, you know, deepens your sense of relationship with one another. So that's what I'm trying to say here. And key assets of a Christian marriage is companionship and friendship. Biblical marriage is a partnership, okay? And is designed to combat loneliness and provide mutual support. It's illustrated by the phrase, "The two are better than one," that I just read. And it's well grounded. It requires intentional daily effort to cultivate friendship. The other part that we talk about is love, which is agape love. It's rooted in sacrificial, unconditional love of Christ. Marriage involves putting the partner's need above one's own. Put your partner's need above yourself. This love is viewed as a daily choice rather than just an emotion. So every day we put your partner needs first. How you want them to be healthy, especially as you are doing your duty. If each person focuses on what their duty is, all right? The woman's duty, the man's duty, what is my duty in this marriage? Then focus on that and make sure you're doing it right. When you do that, then you're looking out for the other person. You're not just looking at, okay, what am I getting in this marriage? The thing that frustrates marriage or frustrates people is they're looking for something for themselves. So, okay, what am I going to get out of this? What is in there for me? So the other thing you should be looking for, how can I compliment my spouse? How can I make life easier for my spouse? And that's what I know we're all working on as a Christian, biblical, marriage, you know, that we should be focusing on. You know, just like we said, on the point of trust and security, trust is very essential for creating a secure relationship, reflecting God's faithfulness, and it grows through vulnerability and reliability. You have to be able to rely on someone. You have to be able to trust that person that they can do this for you. But if you trust other people and you don't trust your spouse, then it takes away from their ability to fulfill what they're supposed to fulfill. So you have to make sure you put that trust, which they have to earn. Maybe there's a reason why you don't trust them with this or that. Or maybe you're just a person that finds it difficult to trust people. Some people have trust issues. I know that. Some people it's very difficult for them to trust others. So if it's difficult for one to trust people, it's going to take a lot on the part of the part or the other partner to prove to them that they are to be trusted. They have to prove it. They have to show that they are trustworthy, and they prove it to them, and then they will eventually earn their trust. So we have to prioritize our time, our effort, our energy into our relationship, and effectively, you know, communicating our ideas, use kind words for your spouse, and loving, you know, when you show love, you use kind words. You don't scream and yell at your spouse, because that would be disrespectful. So with all that being said, I believe that there's some other scriptures too that I would like to share. Just a moment. The one that we've talked about, Deuteronomy 32:30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? One would chase 1,000. But the two of you together, when you are friends, when you can walk together, when you can pray together as friends, you will put 10,000 to flight. You know, is that one we just chase? You know, when you're chasing, you're running after something, you're running, you don't know whether you're going to catch them or not, right? But when you are two, you put 10,000 to flight. They will be the one flying. You're not even going to chase them. They will be flying, you know. So that's the power of agreement of two friends that come together in a relationship, especially in a marital relationship. And they are working at it, and they know how to fight their battle. They will put 10,000 demons to flight. Amen. Also in Ecclesiastes 4:9, I'm going to read 9-12. I think we've read it before. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up the other fellow. But woe to him that is alone, when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, who shall withstand him? And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 tells us that two are better than one. And if it starts with friendship, it tries to be on the same page, having the same values, you know, spiritually, have the same values. If you don't have the same values, then it's going to be hard to be friends. I have a cousin and his wife. I was telling about my husband. They came for my birthday all the way from the Poconos. They came to for my birthday last in September, And I was telling my husband, I don't know what time this couple have. They've been married for 34 years. I've never seen a couple that have so much fun. They're always having fun. You see them posting this, posting that. They're doing this. I mean, they must obviously be rich because the fun that they have, they're always all over the place. They're going to England together. They go to this together. I mean, wow. I see this couple, they're always having fun together. And they always, you can just see, if one is celebrating, oh my God, they celebrate everything. My goodness. And that because they're friends. They're not just husband and wife. They are also friends. They are very good friends together. Also, the Songs of Solomon, another scripture here, 8:7 says, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, it will utterly be contemned. So that's talking about love. Many waters, no argument, should drown our love for our spouses. No bitter, nothing should drown our love. We should learn to live in forgiveness. We wrong our brothers and sisters and we make up with them. So why not your spouse? If you wrong your spouse or they wrong you, make up and continue. Forgive and forgive. If you need to apologize, go ahead and do it and leave it behind you and move on. See, many waters cannot quench love. A true love cannot be quenched just because one little thing happened and then they're running to the divorce court. I'm getting a divorce. What is all that for? Neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, it will utterly be contemned. So we know that even in the 1 Corinthians, I think it's 13, talking about love, all the good things, what love suffers long and so on. So if we go into the depth of love, we will go into all that. And we've talked about Amos 3:3 that says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So we have to be on the same page. You know, we have to ask the opinion of the other person. Check with your spouse. If there's anything you're thinking about doing, check first. See what their mind is on the matter. And then come to a conclusion, an agreement. Come to an agreement before you proceed. I used to make a lot of mistakes, you know, on that side. I used to do something first before asking and then say, oh, you should have asked me. And then it becomes a problem. So, but if you do that before, you do whatever you want to do because you respect the opinion of your spouse, you ask them what they think about this thing. It's not that you're weak when you do that. You know, you're not weak when you ask your spouse's opinion for something, before, you know, getting into it. You know, just as I've said, I'm not pretending to be the perfect person. I've made such mistakes in my own marriage, like doing things first and then finding out that, oh, my spouse did not agree with it. So we need to get their agreement, get them, on the same page before we go into do whatever you want to do, you know, in terms of, so it doesn't hurt the marriage. And it's that simple. When we're transparent, transparent means you're not hiding anything. You can talk about anything with your spouse. You're plain. You're not hiding anything. No secrecy. No lies. You don't lie to your spouse. You know, you take away all that away from your relationship. No lying. No, that if you lie to someone, they're not going to trust you. They're not going to trust you. But if you know, they know that you don't lie to them, you tell them the truth, then they're going to trust you with anything they have. They're going to trust you. Even in terms of money, if you, you know, deceive your spouse and then you go and spend money when you're not supposed to spend it, that is not your own, that belongs, you know, or something that you're not supposed to do, and then you later on, they find out, then it's going to erode their trust for you. It's going to make them not to trust you anymore. So that's what we're saying. We talk about these things that are really pertinent to marriage, to trust, to love. You know, love is so important that we preserve our love one for another. Make sure that nothing, you know, hurts that love. And I see a lot of couples here that will share with us how they profess love, how they trust their spouse, and how they make their spouse to trust them, you know, and how they've developed from friendship, you know. Going over again, let's talk about how it all begins. It begins with friendship. Every good relationship, marital especially that we're talking here, begins with friendship. And if somebody is not even your friend, and actually this friendship can develop by, it's gradual. It's a gradual process. You know, you get to meet someone, maybe you're introduced to somebody, you get to meet them. You can't go to next day and say, oh, we want to marry. The person will look at you, what are you talking about? I don't even know you. How can we marry? I don't know you. I've got to know you first. And then you get to know this person. And then the relationship begins to develop. Then you see what you have in common. Say, oh, you like this? Yes, I do. And then you begin to grow together, beginning to find each other's likes and dislikes. And then you continue. And you still will not find everything until you actually live with that person. You will not find everything. And when you live with that person, you find other things and say, ah, okay, this is what I got myself into. And then you begin to, you know, learn how to deal with it. You begin how to learn, not that you say, okay, yeah, no, I didn't sign up for this, I'm out. No, you still, but you should give yourself enough time during your friendship time to be able to learn of this person, to see whether a broken courtship is better than a broken marriage. You know, it's better to know when to put a brakes and say, oh, maybe we can't go any further because of this, and break it, stop it right there before you say, okay, let's go to the court or let's get married before, and then after that you say, oh, we can't go any further. Then it's too late. So discover what you want to discover before. You know, and then find out if this person is suitable for you to be married to, before you, you know, commit yourself, have 100% commitment into this person. Because when you are done, you're done. That's why it gives, my husband was talking about us. We had a 2-year courtship where we get to know each other. And even though with that 2 years, some people have even 6 years courtship, some people. And some people have 6 months courtship. It depends. It depends on what time you have in your hands. So when you have this, during this time is the time you're being friends. And, you know, you're just playing friends and doing things together and enjoying each other's company, enjoying all these things. And after some time, it becomes unbearable, you know, and you say, well, let's talk about marriage. And then you start planning marriage and then you go into, and the love has to be there. You know, this all involves, you know, you loving that person. You can't marry somebody that you don't love. You definitely have to love the person. All right. So when we do that, and then we're ready, we're going on the right part, on the kingdom marriage, you know, and then you continue to then you begin to study this person, understand them. You know, first of all, you have to understand this person that you're going to get involved with. You know, even your friends, if you don't understand your friends, you know, you can't be friends with them. But if you understand them, you know where they're coming from, you know what tickles them, you know what makes them happy, and you know how to get them. And you can even predict them. You can predict, you know, the longer you are in that relationship, whether it's a marital relationship, I mean, which we are talking here, you begin to be able to predict your spouse even before they even open their mouth. Even their actions is predictable. You can predict what they're going to do. You can predict what they're going to say. And their feelings also, you know, and that's the beauty of a long relationship, you know, but you take that time. It takes a long time to get to that point. You know, if you're married for 10 years, you're still figuring that person out. You're still figuring, even 10, 20, you're still figuring them out. And it's never over. You just keep figuring them out until when you get to a comfortable place, where a position where you know this person. You know them in and out. You have understanding. You love them anyway. You know their faults. And then you still love them. You know their faults. You still love them. You know their, whatever they are doing that is, you know everything, and you still, beside their fault, you love them still. And that is where love's come in. You know, you can love this person, even though they are this, they are that, whatever it is, you still love them. So, that's what I have to say on companionship, love, and marriage. So, and trust, rather. So thank you all for listening. I will stop here so we can discuss. Like, we're going to throw this out for others to speak. God bless you for listening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, honey, for your shares. Okay, so, you know, I did some shares. She did some too. We're going to open it up. I will be moderating. There's some things she can jump in and, you know, fill in the gaps as well. If you want to ask questions or contribute, you know, we are very, very welcome to do that. But let me say one more thing, you know, about marriage. Marriage, you know, we haven't really, you know, we've just been talking about the building blocks that lead to it, but it's a lifetime commitment that we got to make. You know, that's why you got to look well before you leap. You know, if you don't, you know, you may find yourself, you know, in a bad situation. You know, figure things out. So you better try to figure things out as we go. And don't get in there, you know, with an exit clause. The last time I was telling us why we give marriage certificates at the beginning rather than at the end. You know, why do you think? Well, you know, because in every other thing, when you go through training, it could be many years of training, go to school, or it can be months, you do an exam, when you pass, you get a certificate at the end. We give marriage certificates. I'm a pastor, I've conducted several marriages. We give that marriage certificate at the beginning. We don't give it at the end, because, you know, the intent and the hope is that there is no end. So you just get the certificate right at the beginning. If we wait till the end before we give you the certificate, like you do when you're taking training and exams, then it means we are expecting an end. So you get the certificate up front. Yeah, this is your marriage certificate, you know, but you haven't passed anything yet. But you stay in there, you know, for the long haul. So that's the thing. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We are going to throw it out now, and we want to discuss on companionship, friendship, love, and trust. And, you know, how do these things factor into who you are going to marry, or if you're already married, how do they factor into your marriage journey, and so on and so forth. So that's what we want to talk about today. So let's talk. And if you are here and you want to share, you know, I'm sure, those of you who are married, you have experiences. Some people have been in a relationship trying to get married and the thing fell apart. You know, you may have learned something too that you want to share. Some people are single. They're hoping to learn some things, you know, that can help them avoid some pitfalls. You are here. Some people are, you know, just married a few years. They are still going along, discovering. Yeah, that's there. Some have married many years. How did you sustain your marriage over those years? Well, this year, Lady Elmo and myself, by the grace of God, we will be celebrating 50 years of our marriage. I'm hoping that somebody will ask me, how did you sustain it? I won't say it unless I'm asked, but when you ask, I'll tell you. You know, so let's talk about it. Welcome, everybody. Good morning and good afternoon.
Crystal, welcome to the stage. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Hi, everybody. I hope you can hear me. I'm at work. So I just want to ask this question. I was married. I'm divorced, been divorced for a minute now. My question is, how do you do courtship when you have children? And how do you get them involved when that time comes? That's the question that I have. Thank you.
Did I hear her correctly, Lady Elmo? Did you hear the question correctly? Did she say, how do you do courtship when you have children? Is that what she said?
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard too.
Yes, that's what you heard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we may not be qualified to answer that question. I have some ideas because of talking to people. I have not experienced it. Sometimes people think that if you have not passed through something, you are not qualified. That's why I said that we may not be qualified because we have not passed through that. My wife and I have never been divorced or separated. But, you know, over the years, we learned a few things from talking to many people. And I know that there may be others here who can talk to that. But if you are divorced and you have children, it could be a very, very delicate situation, especially with the children, and especially if they are grown. You know, children do not like their parents to be divorced. You know, they like their parents to be together. And so if when they are divorced, they don't like somebody else coming into that space. You know, if they're with their mom, and some other man comes in, they may not like the man because they're still probably thinking, why are you coming to take this space that doesn't belong to you? If they're with the same thing, vice versa, they're with the man, they see somebody else, a woman coming into his life that's not their mother, they're not happy with it. So that situation exists. How do you deal with it? Well, first of all, you've got the Holy Spirit. You got to pray for wisdom, but you also got to be transparent with these kids, especially the older kids, because, you know, they'll have a lot of questions. And the more we keep them in the dark, the worse it's going to be, you know, and they have a right to, you know, generally, I mean, children do not have a right of which family they are born into because they're not born. They're just born, you know. They don't know who their mom is going to be. They don't know who their dad is going to be. So they just, when we have children, they just find themselves in this family. They don't know how they got there. But when they know how they got there, it's a challenge for them if they don't appreciate how they got there. And so that's a life lesson that we have to recognize. You know, grown children in a family, you know, now we're talking of you might be a blended family now or some other thing. It's difficult because now they know. See, it's not like they don't know. They know who their stepmom or stepdad is going to be, and they see their mom or their dad, you know, going out with this person that they may not like or appreciate. And they may get to like them if they get a chance, you know, to know them. But there's always this defense systems at first that they throw up that, I don't know who this person is that's encroaching on this space. And they don't, naturally, they may not like them. But, you know, we have to carry them along in such a situation. It's just like anything else we're going to do. And sometimes some of us are trying to get married our parents don't appreciate the person we want to marry for whatever reason, or some of our close family, or even friends. Well, you know, you got to carry them along. You have to have your convictions, and then you carry the people along because we need their support. We cannot live life in isolation. You're trying to get married. You need your parents' blessing. If they don't agree, you got to find a way to carry them along, and through prayer too. Same thing with children. You're now in a relationship with somebody else who's not your husband, because now you're divorced and they don't appreciate the person or whatever. We got to carry them along. How do we carry them along? Well, they're not going to be carried along if they're in the dark and know what's going on. We got to be, you know, transparent the best that we can be, you know. And, you know, let's be patient for them to, you know, to try to figure out, you're the one spending time with this person. They are not spending as much time. So it's going to take them a longer process to get comfortable with that person. That's just life. We have to recognize that. You know, but if we are, you know, impatient and we're angry with the fact that they question anything, then it becomes even more of a problem. I mean, we have to be able to listen to their concerns. It is going to be your life, but they are in it. You know, people say, well, it's my life. Well, maybe so, but these children are in it. And now, you know, when they were little or when they were babies being born, they didn't have a choice of who their father or mother was going to be. But now they are in this thing. They have their senses. They have understanding, reasoning. Well, they have a right to ask questions. They have a right to not understand. And we have to bring them along. The good thing is that we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and we must use prayer and faith in trusting the Lord to bring the right person in that will love your children, you know, and will be, you know, passionate about them as though they were his or hers. You know, if the situation were reversed, you know, whether it's the man that's, you know, has the children or the woman that had the children, you know, and that's very, very key. You got to pray the right. And if your, you know, person that you're in courtship with, you know, have no respect for your children, talk bad about them, very mean to them and so forth, that's not a good sign, because he's going to come into that family relationship. Now, if they are completely grown children and they are out of your lives, in other words, they are adult by whatever standard the society that you live in is, and they're completely out of your life, that may be a little different. But if they are still going to be part of that family, that could be more challenging, because now you got to carry them along. And I would say, you know, prayer, being prayerful in that situation, you know, that the Lord will bring you someone who would love your children, you know, and also praying for the children that they would be able to accept this person if it's the right person. You know, sometimes children can see something too that we didn't see, you know, and there's blind spots in relationships. Okay. A person who is, you know, lost their spouse through whatever means, they may be, you know, in a blind spot relationship. Maybe they are bouncing back from a broken relationship, and there may be things they don't see. When we are in a bounce back relationship or phase in our relationship, it's a delicate thing. You know, somebody, the children especially, who are going to be a part of that, may see something we don't see. So it's all a matter of patience, understanding, bringing them along, but mostly prayer and asking God to guide through the process, because you don't want to make the same mistake. I mean, there's a reason why somebody is divorced. Now, if their spouse passed away, that's a different story. But if they are divorced and the spouse is still living and they are divorced, there's a reason why that happened. And then, so all of those things, and if the children witnessed that very bitter, traumatic situation, it's going to be very, very hard, you know, to win them over into something. Sometimes even they are angry with both parents. It's not just the one parent that they are with that they like. They may be angry, you know, and they're angry with, why are you not with my dad? Or whatever, you know. So it depends on, you know, the age of those children and how mature they are. And they, you know, if they are more mature, they will understand that these things happen. But, you know, if they are younger, they find it very difficult to understand that. So yeah, our prayer is that the Lord will help you. And I want to pray for Sister Crystal right now. I know Lady Evan may have some words to speak, and some other people will have some words to speak. But I'm going to pray, you know, maybe I'll let others speak first, and we'll pray. I want to make sure that we pray for everybody that has a challenge that comes into this room. We're going to pray with you before the room is over. So, Lady Evan, please make sure we remember to do that. But let me open it up, see if you or others have some words. I know you have some words about blended families and stuff like that. So go ahead. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And thank you, Sister Crystal, for that question. I think Pastor said so many good things about gave so many good answers to your question. One point that I wanted to say is this, that when someone is not with another, their husband, I mean their ex-husband or ex-wife anymore, and they speak badly about that person all the time. I see that happen in some bitter breakouts or bitter separation or bitter reverses where somebody is so hurt that they speak about the other person so badly in front of the children. And all the times, children don't really like that. They don't like their parents or the other parents speaking bad about the other parents, especially when the other person's not around, you know, always saying the things that happened when they were together or the bad things or the, you know, especially, you know, about the other person. It's not a good habit to have. It's not a good thing to, children detest it. They don't like it. They want their mother or their father to be respected, you know. Even though they are one is divorced, they still love their parents and they don't want anything bad or anything evil to happen to them or to anyone to say anything bad about their other parents or their parents at any time by anybody. So that's just what I wanted to add to that. Amen. Thank you. I hope that helps.
All right. Well, thank you, Sister Crystal. I know you are at work. You know, here's the question that Sister Crystal asked. And if anybody has any things to say or follow-up question with that, you know, we'll take it. She says, you know, if you are divorced and you have children and you are trying to be in a courtship relationship with someone else, how do you handle that when there are children involved? So that's what we're trying to address here. Because the children now, they feel that somebody else is coming in to take the space of their father or mother. How do you handle that situation? So that's what she asked. And that's what we have been trying to address. If anybody have any thoughts, comments, or additional questions in that line, feel free to do so. Praise the Lord.
Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Sister Olenifi, I'm trying to step in an area where I can talk louder. I do want to contribute to that question because although I am married now, I got married at a later age. So when I was in my dating phase at my later age, I thought there was a possibility that the person that I do end up with already has children. And I did experience dating somebody that had children. I've seen other relationships where, people are, you know, have children and are dating, all that stuff. I think one of the biggest things is timing as to when you introduce your children to the person you're dating. And, you know, it's a really sensitive area to get it wrong, too early, too late, that they never had to say so, you know, it can be really a sensitive situation. I've seen it done well. Actually, sometimes I've noticed, and even in divorce, sometimes bitter divorces, they actually have it in the agreement that, you know, somebody won't bring a significant other or whoever they're dating and to their child, you know, in the presence of their children, you know, that's actually in some divorces. So I would say, you know, timing wise, and we also know that there's a huge issue with step, you know, people, fathers or whatever, abuse and all that stuff. So, unfortunately, you know, so just being very careful is when the children actually get introduced. And then, you know, there's things that turn around, like, you know, in our family, we have our older sister. If she was here, she would be able to tell a wonderful testimony where, you know, her husband has completely, you know, taken over, her children, which her first two were not his. And then they have one together when they got married, just completely, you know, is a wonderful father. They both, you know, see them as such, but, you know, he didn't know them. When he came into the States, it was only like a few weeks before they got married, and you could see it on the faces, even in the wedding, that my niece didn't have a good face, you know. So things can change. Initially, it could be that they don't like the situation, but eventually they, you know, could turn around based on the spouse and everything. For me, I didn't meet anybody, because I was actually in a long distance relationship with the person I did talk to that had a child, but I was open at the time. When I was younger, as soon as somebody told me that they had a kid, I was like, nope, you know, but, you know, eventually I realized it's very possible that that could be the case. So I think timing, as far as, I don't, you know, think it's a good idea to like introduce the kids right away. You know, you're dating, and that could totally affect somebody's life when they bring them into the life too early, and then they're you know, they lose that relationship and they're getting used to them, or again, being careful not to put them in a harmful situation. As an esthetician, I actually have a client that, when I was taking services, that came in, and she would always tell me about her situation where she was dating somebody that eventually she would marry, and she met they had a daughter. I think the husband that she married, you know, her new husband already had a daughter that was like 9 years old. And, you know, it took some time. The mother of the child was a little hostile at first and all this stuff, but now they're like the best of friends. I see them always posting video. She actually told me one day that the mother of the biological mother, like, bought her something for Mother's Day, you know, a couple years into the marriage, and it made her cry. So I think she did it well as far as the timing it took to, you know, engage and, you know, and know, and also not to overparent right away. You know, every child is different. Everybody's going to be different. So we never know, you know, how somebody's going to take it. Like I said, depending on the age, you know, it's going to be a different situation. So I think timing, I would just want to emphasize, like, you know, when that introduction is happening, because you never know what's going to happen. And then what really happens, I guess my follow-up question is, what happens when, you know, the children have gotten used to the relationship or not used to the relationship? Like, what do you do now? There's sometimes where people get married and either it's blended, now they're separating, or, you know, they were in the relationship for a long time. The children are used to it. They love the spouse, and now they're gone. So that would be, you know, other people can answer Crystal's question, but I would also want to, you know, maybe discuss that for a little bit. Okay, I'll meet my mic here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Olunife. That's my daughter, by the way, because anybody is new doesn't know. My lovely, lovely daughter. Praise God. You know, yeah, I mean, those are good perspectives. You know, what is the timing, you know, of, you know, bringing the children into that relationship? Obviously, if you don't do it right, I mean, you don't want to do it right at the beginning. You got to at least know who, you know, whether, if this is going anywhere. You know, but then again, there comes a point in time where we have to bring them in if they're going to be a part of that relationship. I mean, they, you know, they have a right, you know, now, and so on and so forth. And, you know, like I said, prayer is so key. If God gives you the right person that will love your children as though they were his, you know, you'd be a blessing. But the children may be resistant at first. The example that she was talking about in our family, they were like that. But the man loved those children. He couldn't even tell. You know, I don't know that, you know, I've never seen anything quite like it. He loved those children, took care of them, you know, ironed their clothes, took them to school, waited for them, did this and did that. You know, you didn't, would never have known that they were not his children, you know, but at first, and they developed, you know, a better relationship at one another, not because he had issues, but the children had issues. It was like, who is this man? You know, but, you know, eventually they got around to figuring it out, and you know, they're a functional, good functional family now. You know, so we have to pray, you know, and what happens if the children start to like that person and all of that and so forth, and then you don't go along with it, and then it falls apart. You know, it's the same thing with even marriage. It's the same thing. You know, children, when children are involved, you know, it's a very, very delicate situation, because you're not the only one that's going to be hurt. You know, if you're in a marriage with your spouse for years and there are children, and then you divorce, the children may be devastated. And the same thing with if you're trying to get your life back together, and then, you know, maybe at first the children are not feeling it, and maybe eventually they start to feel it. And if that thing falls apart, they will be much more devastated. I mean, so these are things that we must consider. Once we are in a family setting, our lives are no longer, we're not just no longer an island. You're not just, you know, a lone tree. These are considerations we have to make. You know, if it's just you and that person and nobody else involved, well, you can do anything you want. But when children are involved, especially, divorces get harder. Because now consider a family where there is a divorce and, you know, there's still young children. You know, those children, you know, that are now learning to, you know, enjoy their dad or mom, whoever they are not with, they're going to be devastated because they want their mom or they want their dad and so on and so forth, you know. And the same thing with, even if they're a little grown, you know, they may have developed some deep sense of love for that person, the other person that they're not with now. So it's very, very delicate when, you know, especially when children have evolved. This is the reason, it's one of the reasons why we are having these, you know, call it workshop, call it whatever, series on marriage. Because some people say, well, I wish I knew all of that. Well, you wish we knew all of that, but nobody is talking about many things that we should be talking about. As a matter of fact, as these marriage sessions go on, marriage and family is what we're choosing to call it, not just marriage, because family, because children are involved, you know, in marriage. You can't do things in isolation. We're going to talk about a lot of things that people don't talk about in church circles. This is not a church. You know, we are church people, but we are not in church here. So we're going to break that. This is not your traditional church where you can't talk about things. We will talk about things. We want to talk about things. And we want you to ask us about things, you know, because, you know, if you can't hear it anywhere else, well, we got to be able to talk about it in this platform. You know, so although we're going to try to stay with, you know, grounded by scripture, nothing is, you know, there's nothing that's going to prevent us from saying, you can't talk about that. Why not? You know, so we'll talk about it. We'll try to discover answers together. You know, as Lady Evans said, and as I also alluded to, we're not claiming to know it all. Have we had problems in our marriage? Yeah, you know, but we figured it out. I came into marriage with a different background than she did, but our different backgrounds helped us to make a commitment. You know, her parents were divorced when she was growing up. And so she decided she would not experience that. And it was a driving factor for her to make sure that the whatever marriage situation she got into, she did not experience those kind of bitterness. Well, mine was on the opposite spectrum, but it was also something that was a trigger for me. You know, my parents, by the time my mom died, she died first. They had been married for 50 years. You know, and I don't think I ever saw them fight. You know, I mean, it was like, so I came from that background like, oh my goodness, this is good stuff. I mean, some people come from backgrounds where I don't want to be married because my parents were like cats and dogs. You know, I've heard that. You know, but others say, well, I'm going to be married, but I'm not going to let my marriage be like that. And yet others, like me, I was privileged, I thank God, to see something that worked. Was it everything that they did that I liked or carried along? No. But I took what I wanted and I changed other things to work for me. But I saw an example that marriage can actually, you know, be like that. You know, I mean, you can be in a marriage. So I came into the marriage with a commitment. My wife also came to the marriage with a commitment. And that was a good thing. That's what helped us till now. And her commitment was, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen. Well, my commitment is I'm going to outlast my parents. You know, I mean, it's like there's nothing you're going to do to make me walk away from the marriage. It's not going to happen. You know, so, you know, if I wasn't ready to do it, then I'm not ready to do it. If I go in, then I go in. You know, now others are not so privileged because you can't really control what the other person is going to do. Sometimes it gets really nasty. And we recognize that. And people have gone through a divorce, you know, and they must build their lives up again. You know, there's life after divorce. And we're going to also be, you know, addressing those things here in this marriage series because, you know, sometimes people don't even want to talk about it. Why not? You know, we got to talk about it. I mean, this is life, you know. So just because, you know, you are in a happy marriage now doesn't mean that that's the way everybody's lives will be. Some people are, you know, in a disastrous marriage and some people are, you know, divorced and looking to build their life over again. Well, Christ is beautiful for every situation, you know, and he can help us no matter what situation we are in. So there was an additional question that Nifi posed, still along the question that Sister Crystal posed. You know, what do you do in situations where you're trying to get back into a relationship after a divorce and there are children involved? How do you carry them along? And what happens if there's a second time disappointment? I hope not. But these are realities of life. If anybody has any thoughts on those, you can. Or if we have exhausted that, nobody has anything else, you have some other thing you want us to discuss, feel free to ask or say as well. Praise the Lord.
And may I add, this is Lady Ebbs speaking here. May I add that we're not encouraging divorce in this room, because the word of the Lord, even the Bible says, God hates divorce. So, and God prefers that people actually mend their situation, you know, even though they have, they have problems in their situations, they can reconcile, you know, say, if someone separates, if, you can reconcile with your spouse, there's room for reconciliation in marriage, so as long as, you know, we're not hooked up with other people, that's why we're getting divorced. Because most of the time, if there's infidelity and people are so strong and they just want to get a divorce because they want to go get married to another person, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. If that's the reason why people want to get a divorce, it's so that they can get hooked up with another person. So divorce shouldn't be an option at all. So we're not encouraging that in this room, that people should get divorces. We're encouraging that people should stay together and, you know, understand each other, be friends. And the topic of today is friendship, trusting, and love and marriage. So that's what we're encouraging in this room. But yeah, things do happen. And we appreciate the question of Sister
Sister Crystal that came up to ask a question about her situation. And we know other people are in that situation also. And we do respect that. And we're trying to answer those questions. But let's, you know, because some people might say, oh, you know, reverse is fine. Then no, it is not a good thing at all. It's not good for the children. It's not good for anybody to, it's a terrible thing to go through. So we discourage it and God doesn't like it either. So, that's what, and then to Sister Crystal's question, not Sister Crystal, but Sister Olunife's question. Yes, children want, they want consistency. So if you're not sure of this person or if it breaks down again, it's going to be really hard on the children because they want consistency. If they get used to somebody and all of a sudden you have to talk to them, oh, never mind, if that person's gone, I'm going to have to get somebody else. You know, it's confusing to children. They like consistency. And that's why Paul said, it's rather for you to just stay single. Just be single if you are in that situation. If you, for some reason things don't work out for you, just stay with your kids and forget about getting into anything. Just stay single. That's it, you know, because you don't want to confuse these children. I know somebody is hard. Some people want to get back to, you know, get married again and so on. But what is the point of get into a relationship where you're going to get divorced again? What is the point? So, unless you're sure that this time around, this is it, you're not going to, you know, you're going to work it out and, you know, get no divorces again. So, that's what my own answer to that question would be. Thank you. I will meet you.
All right. Thank you, Lady Evan, for making that clear. Yes, we are not. I mean, it's very clear in the text that we read in Malachi chapter 2. You know, we can read some things, you know, from like verses 14 through about 16, where the Lord was denouncing divorce. Also in Matthew 19, they asked Jesus this question about divorce and he was denouncing it. You know, so we're not encouraging that. However, you know, if you are in that situation, we are in the situation, you know. Now, hopefully some of these lessons will make us wiser for next time around. Look, I've been around people that said they've been married 3 or 4 times. I'm like, something is wrong with this picture. Why, you know, would you be married 3 or 4 times? You know, so something's wrong. It's either they're just jumping in without being very careful and counting the cost. Jesus talked about counting the cost. You know, he even talked about, look, if you're trying to build a tower and you don't count the cost, you start building and you can't finish it. People are going to mock you. You're trying to go into battle. You only have 10,000. You're going against somebody that has 20,000 troops. Shouldn't you consider whether you can take them or not? If you can't, better send, you know, peace talks. And so, I mean, Jesus talked about counting cost. And he said, look, if you put your hands on the plow and you look back, that's not a good thing. So these principles are in the Bible. You know, we've been talking about the principles, you know, understanding the keys of the kingdom. These principles are in the Bible. However, if you do find yourself in that situation, then think very carefully for the next time around. If it's happened to you once before, make sure it doesn't happen again. Maybe you didn't have this kind of exposure to people who you could ask questions with or, you know, share, or you could learn from support group and so forth. But even support groups, people need to have the right support groups. You know, if when you're trying to fix your marriage, the people that are advising you are people who are advising you to get a divorce, then you're talking to the wrong support group. Now, of course, if your life is in jeopardy, we're not asking people to stay there when there's physical abuse and, you know, somebody's trying to kill you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your problems that could be, you know, we could walk through, you know, irreconcilable differences, you know, so That's something we've heard so many times, even in the court of law, they hear that. What is the meaning of irreconcilable differences? I mean, how did you get to the point where you're hooked up with somebody that you had such a big difference? You know, well, that's probably because you are unequally yoked. Unequally yoked is, you know, something that is horrible. I was told not to be unequally yoked. I listened partly to a program. I was driving to a certain place during the day this week. I had a annual physical appointment. When I went, I was coming back, had my radio on. I don't normally listen to radio during the day because I'm at work. But that one, I was in the car, and that was the time the program was on. And they were talking about, I was a woman. I asked a question. They were in a relationship, and I thought it was very good. I told my wife about it. She said, oh, yeah, that program normally airs at that time. I never heard it because I never, listened to radio at that time of the day. But this one, I just happened to be in my car, and the music was playing, and they switched to that program. And she said that she's in a relationship, and she's asking the moderator of the program, I'm in a relationship now, and my fiancé does not want to continue because we have a difference of opinions on which church we will go to. I want to go over here to this church. He wants to go over there to that church. And he said, no, I can't follow you to your church. I don't want to follow him to his church. And then she's asking, what do we do? And so they gave some advice back and forth and so forth. And then at the end, I was just listening. I said, what are they going to say? You know, at the end, the moderator said something which I thought was really cool. I mean, he said, well, it's a good thing that the man is forthright now, because some men would just play low, play the role to get the girl. They say, oh, I'll go with you to your church. They pretend and everything. But inside, they're ravening wolves. But they will pretend to be a sheep right now, you know, and then once you get you after the altar, then their true color comes out. And the man said, isn't it better that the man was even, I mean, he applauded the man for, you know, saying, well, I'm not going to that kind of church, you know. And the other one said, well, I'm not. So, I mean, they were able to advise this young girl, I don't know how young she was, on this situation and say, look, isn't it better that you deal with that now? This is an absolute red flag. They didn't use those words, but I was thinking that if I was the one going to answer that. This is an absolute red flag. You two cannot work together except if you agreed. The most critical thing for you to agree on, if you are a believer, and I'm hoping that people in this room are believers, and if you are not, we invite you to become one, is on the subject of your faith, on the person you are going to marry. Believe something different than you believe, you're going to have a lot of problems. You know, so better you figure that out now. And so that particular couple, that young woman was advised to figure it out now. That's a good thing. Now, irreconcilable differences, maybe that's a point. Maybe they didn't figure it out. I am an absolute proponent of the fact that husband and wife should believe the same thing and should go to the same church. You know, what's the point? You're going here. Which church will the children go to when there is if children come into that relationship? Will they go with their dad? Will they go with their mom? That's confusion. You know, we need to fix that before you even get anywhere. No matter how you like the person or you think you love with them, in love with them, that's got to be a litmus test right there. Should be a bone of contention. It should be a deal breaker. Let me just use that language right off the bat. You are not going to believe the same thing. You don't believe the same thing. Why should you even marry them? That's being in an unequal yoke together. I mean, when you yoke oxen together, they got to be around the same kind of height, around the same kind of build, around the same kind of strength, because, you know, they're going to put this yoke around their neck. And they're going to be dragging things. You know, if they're unequally yoked, it's not going to work. One, the cattle on the left is tall and, you know, huge and big and well built. This one is lean and struggling. It's not going to work. You know, so Don't be unequally yoked. So that's the thing. Then there should be other things. This is why we have discovery through the friendship periods, the courtship periods, you know. And if you think you like that person so much, you're willing to go along with things that are deal breakers, well, think again. There will come a time when the deal will be broken. And then you find yourself in a situation which you could have avoided. It's better to fix that now, come into agreement, or don't go forward with it. That's my advice, especially if it's critical. It's not everything that is critical. I mean, on which side of the bed will they be getting up when you get married? That's nonsense. But I mean, I see that they're going to squeeze their toothpaste, you know, from the bottom or in the middle. That's nonsense. You can fix all those things. But things like, look, how do they believe? You know, and things like that. Pillars. In fact, Jesus himself said there are weightier matters of the law. There are things that are weightier matters of marriage. Pillars of marriage. You know, it's not just every little thing that you disagree on that marriage should fall apart. You know, or you shouldn't go forward because you found that out. You know, there's some things you can work out. In fact, I'll give you an example. My wife found out, you know, that I, you know, could be impatient at times before we got married. We were not my wife at the time. We were going out somewhere. It's a story we laugh about now, but she wasn't laughing then. You know, we went out. We were not married. We were just going out together. We went out to this busy place. Those of you are in Nigeria or know Lagos, this Tinubu market area, very, very busy place. And we went out that day together and we got separated in the crowd somehow. Maybe we should have been holding hands. That would have helped. But back then, you better not hold hands with a girl. You know, that was the kind of state where we were in those days. You know, so if I had been holding our hands, that would not have happened. But we didn't do any of those things. But we're very strict in, you don't hold hands, you don't do this, you don't do that. Anyway, we got separated in the crowd, you know, and the crowd got in between us and we went to one place and she's the kind of person, till this day, she loves that, you know, check out all the stores, check out everything. I check it out, move on, you know. So we got into this place, we checked it out and somehow we got separated in the crowd and I thought she was right there and she wasn't. And then when I looked, oh, where is she? I didn't know that she had stopped. I think she told me she was stopping, but I didn't hear. It was very noisy. And I looked around, and she wasn't there. And I looked, and she wasn't there. My goodness. So I'm looking around. Where is she? And I couldn't find her. That horrible, busy place. You know, crowds were just crawling like anything. And in that situation, we actually ended up leaving the marketplace separately. Because we didn't have phones back then. Okay, well, you know, we're talking, you know, early 70s or mid 70s here. There was no such thing as a phone that I could call her with. You know, if I had a phone, I would have called her, hey, where are you? You know, oh, I'm over here in this store checking this thing out. We didn't have that. So we ended up not finding each other. She looked for me. I wouldn't find her. She couldn't find me. I looked for her. She couldn't find me. And she thought to myself, how in the world could he leave me here? Well, I didn't mean to do so, but we got separated. So we had left that place separately. You know, we got back somewhere where we met. And she confronted me about it. It was a thing of concern. Is that how you're going to leave me when we get married? Well, we're still married 50 years later. So, you know, I didn't leave her like that. Yeah. But it was a thing of concern. You know, are you going to be impatient with me when we go to store like that and just leave me there or whatever? I mean, I don't know. She asked me some tough questions then. I said, well, you know, I don't know, but I think I can change. You know, so, but you're going to have to figure out if that's enough. That's important enough for you to say we're not going forward. That's your choice. You know, but she looked at all of that qualities that she liked in me, you know, so you have to kind of weigh it out. Now, if it was an issue of church or faith, I'm sure she wouldn't have gone forward with it, but we were agreed on those things. We were always out evangelizing, doing all this evangelizing, you know, doing things, casting out devils and all those things together, even before we got married. She loved that part. I was teaching her scripture. She loved that part. She loved a lot of other things that I was caring about, things and so on and so forth. But she didn't like this part, you know. And so you have to wait, but it wasn't important enough for her to say, I'm not going to do it, you know. And she said, well, and I said, well, I will do better. And I did do better because I'm still here. Praise the Lord. You know, so you're going to have to think about it, figure it out. And then once you are in the marriage, though, the things that, you know, these things should not separate you now that you're in a marriage, because you are in this thing. You can't come in with an exit clause in mind. This is the problem. People are not trained and taught that you don't go into marriage with the idea of if it doesn't work, then I walk away. There's no such thing. Not in the scriptures. Jesus said, you know, they said, well, why then did Moses give us a bill of divorcement? Jesus said, it was because of the hardness of your hearts. From the beginning, it was not so. He who made them male and female, that they should be together. And let no one put asunder what God has separated. Jesus condemned it. But he said, well, Moses allowed it because of the way your heart was. But Jesus didn't condone it. Now, did Jesus condemn and discard all the people who might have been divorced? No. In fact, I talked to one woman who had been divorced 5 times. You will read the story in John chapter 4. We call it the woman at the well. Did Jesus dismiss her completely because she had been divorced? No. Jesus helped her to put her life back together. And he said to her, go call your husband. Of course, he already knew she had no husband. Go call your husband. It was a way that Jesus wanted to get into that conversation. He said, well, I don't have any husband. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. I know you've had 5. So this woman has been divorced that many times. You've had 5 husbands. And even the one you shacked up right now is not your husband. He told it to her, but he wasn't mean. He wasn't raising his voice like I'm raising my voice now for emphasis. We're just saying, well, I know you've had 5, you know, and the one you are with now is not even your husband. And she said, oh my goodness, this man is a prophet. How could he have known these things? She ran off, told everybody, come see a man who told me everything. He didn't tell her everything he already did, but those are the things that were important in her life. You know, how this man knew. But Jesus didn't cast the woman away. In fact, Jesus was telling the woman, come and get water of life from me. He already knew he was divorced. So that tells you right there that people who are divorced, there's life after divorce, can still come and get the water of life from Jesus. And did Jesus appreciate the fact that she was divorced? No. But did he condemn her and cast her away and say, you have no chance in the kingdom? No. He invited her. Ask of me. If you knew who it was, I was talking to you, he would give you the living water. Jesus was inviting this divorced woman to come and get living water from him. And that tells you, you know, how we should deal with people who are divorced. We should not throw them away and say that it's a stigma for the rest of your life. Jesus didn't even condemn her. He just used it to reveal it to her that he knows. But I can still help you. I can still give you that river of living water. And the woman became an evangelist. You know, now if Jesus had spat in her face, rubbed her face in the mud, remember, a broken reed or a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. Something that's already almost damaged, he's not going to finish it off in damage. He's going to help you pick up the pieces. That's what Jesus does. And so that's our message to everybody that's going through divorce or has been divorced. Jesus can help you put your life back together. Now, what Lady Evans said is very important. Stay unmarried or be reconciled. You know, if you cannot be reconciled, if it's too late, one person already married the other person, or you already started messing around with somebody else, then it's too late. That's confusion. God doesn't want people sleeping around. You sleep with this person, you sleep with that person, you sleep with that. He doesn't want it. You know, so that's not the way. But if you find yourself a victim of divorce for whatever reason, Bible say, if the unbelieving departs, let them depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such a case. Now, you know, there are exceptions to the rule. That's not God's thing, but there are exceptions. But will God save a divorcee? Let's ask. These are tough questions that people don't like to talk about. Well, absolutely. I just proved it to you from John chapter 4. Can God save a murderer or somebody who's a robbing, thieving, murderer, lying, cheating? Well, he saved the thief on the cross. You know, so listen, while we don't condone it, we do not hand out, you know, the gavel and say, that's it, end of story for anybody. No, Jesus is beautiful for every situation. Whatever situation are you in? But here is the thing. Art thou called being married? Seek not to be divorced. You can read all of that in 1 Corinthians 7. Maybe one day we'll go through it lesson verse by verse. If you're married, stay there. You know, there are ways for to get you to fix it. You don't know that the next marriage is going to be any better if you are not willing to work on this one. You know, so, and that's why people end up being married 4 times. They weren't willing to pay the price on that first one. They jumped around. Married the next person, they end up in divorce. Married the other one, they end up in divorce again. Married the fourth one, they end up. I have met people on this clubhouse that were like that. And then they heard that testimony and said, well, I'm married 3 or 4 times. Why could you? So I didn't come out and condemn them, but in my mind, I'm like, what in the world? You know, something's wrong with that picture. Take your time. If you've been divorced, do not be divorced ever again. You know, take your time, figure it. Maybe there were things you didn't know. Maybe you were young and foolish and you didn't know certain things, you know, or even naive, you know. Okay. But now you are wiser. That was then. This is now. So take your time, figure it out. And if you are not yet married, if you are single, first time single, not, you know, single again. First time single, and you come into these lessons are designed to help you take your time, make the right choice, and don't go in with an exit clause. There's no exit, you know? So don't get in there and say, well, if it doesn't work, I'll just walk. No, you know, go put your hands into the plow and then look back. Before you put your hands on the plow, look very carefully. Talk about it. Be open in communication. Like the man was, he said, I can't go with you to that church. He was open. And the woman said, well, I can't go with you either. And he said, okay, fine. That means we cannot go forward because church is critical to us. I don't know what it was. So the man that was moderating asked, was it that he didn't like the colors of the building? And I laughed. You know, or was it doctrinal? What was it that he didn't, you know, because if it was colors of the building he didn't like, or the way a certain person spoke, I mean, those can be, you know, can be worked out. But if it was doctrinal, that cannot be worked out, you know. So he asked the question, and the lady answered, and I said, oh, my goodness, this man is good, the way he asks his questions. You know, so there are some things that you may not like that you can still work out. Like the example I gave with, you know, my wife, my then fiance, and, you know, she knew we could work that out. That's an area. But if it had been, you know, on matter of faith, she probably wouldn't go along with the ride, you know. So thank God we were agreed on matter of faith. It's so important, you know. It's so important, you know. We met in the ministry and we stayed in the ministry, and that is important. And that's why she's still here with me, standing side by side with me. Been doing ministry together for more than 50 years. But we've been doing it before we got married. You know, and we will be married 50 years this July by the grace of God. So, see, it is important. There are some important things that you must know. It's a yes or a no-go. Some not so weightier matters of marriage. Yeah, you know, how are you going to do this thing? Those things you can walk out, those things you can bring. You're not going to change the devil. You're not going to convert them. Some people say, well, they will change. They will not change if it's matters of faith, you know, or not faith, you know. So they will not change. Don't be deceived, you know. But Jesus said, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Don't be naive. You know, I was involved in one situation some years ago where the woman was deceived into thinking the man deceived her, quite unlike this story I just told, to thinking that, oh yeah, I'll go with you to your church. Because the woman came out openly and said, well, I want to marry, you got to be a Christian. That's a naive way of putting yourself out. Because if they know that that's what you are want, then they'll pretend that that's what they are. You go figure it out silently. But she's put that out there. Oh, if you're not a Christian, you're not a church goer, I don't have any. And so the man said, oh, cool. I know what I need to do to get her. Pretend that I'm a church goer. Pretend that I'm a Christian. After all, I know the lingo. So he knew the lingo. And he said a few things to her, and she was so naive. And she went into the thing. This is a true story. It's not a parable. It's a true story. And then they got in there, and then, it was like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. The man all of a sudden just changed. I thought they got married, you know. And they oppressed. She would not. She wanted to. She loved to go to prayer meetings, night vigil, and this stuff, you know. And the man hated that stuff. Would have none of it. But he pretended, you know. And the woman could not discern anything. She was foolish like that, or naive. And then after marriage, his true thing came out, and he would not. There, no way you're going to prayer meeting. No way you're doing any of that crazy stuff. I said, but, you know, so now, you know, I have none of it. And then it became a bone of contention. So look well before you leap. All right. Let me open it up for others to give their comments and their shares. I hope and trust that you are enjoying this. Let me do a quick room reset here. You are here, not in the marriage ministry. That was our old platform. But you're now here with us on Walking with God, bringing to you a marriage series. So this is where we are now anymore. You know, we don't do these things under the marriage ministry anymore. We do it under the Walking with God platform. What is Walking with God platform? It's a daily fellowship platform. We're here every day. Now, it's not every day we discuss marriage. Actually, we're doing this marriage series only once a month now. First Saturday of each month. But every day, doing some other powerful stuff. So come back and visit us. It was a powerful stuff. Currently, we're talking about understanding the kingdom concept of keys. That's what we've been talking about the last few days. Powerful stuff. So come back and join us every morning. Now, talking about every morning, there will be a time change tomorrow morning. I've been announcing this for 3 days or so, 3 times now. Because last year, somebody told me they missed the room because of the time change, or the last time the time changed. So that's why I keep saying it. Tomorrow morning, those of you who are in the United States, in states where there is a spring forward time change, when it is 2 a.m. your time, it will suddenly be 3 a.m. So, you know, now that will affect things of how you find this room. So that's why I'm taking my time to explain it. You know, every one of you who are in those states, tomorrow, by the time you wake up, the time would have changed. So take note of it. Currently, we are meeting here. And even, well, if you base it on Arizona time, you will never be wrong. Because my wife and I are based in Arizona. And thankfully, the segment of Arizona where we are in, they don't change time. I say that because, you know, Navajo or Indian reservation, they actually have their own thing. But majority of Arizona, we are in mountain standard time. no change. It's always 5 a.m. in Arizona. Those who are in Nigeria, thank God, there's no such thing there as well. It's always going to be 1 p.m. for you. Now, across the United States, we have multiple time zones. You got to calculate your time based on Mountain Standard Time, 5 a.m. By tomorrow, when you wake up, if you are in Central Time, it'll be 7 a.m. It was 6 a.m. for you today. It'll be 7 a.m. tomorrow. Now, by the time you wake up in Eastern Time Zone, it'll be 8 a.m. for you when this room will convene. So bear that in mind. Pacific Time, it'll be the same as Arizona Time tomorrow. So that may affect things, but at least you know. In Canada, they are spread out in multiple time zones, just like the U.S. So figure it out accordingly. In the U.K., I don't know what time they change time in the U.K., but currently it is 12 noon there. When they do their spring forward, which I don't know what day it will be, it will then become 1 p.m. like Nigeria time. So please be cognizant of the time change, which will happen tomorrow. But today we're talking about marriage. So back to our marriage series. We've been talking about companionship, friendship, love, and trust, you know, and the impact that these things have on marriage. Companionship and friendship get you on the right start. Building love into that, you know, gets you going deeper into that. Once you are in it too, you still need the friendship. You still need companionship. And you still need the love to sustain the marriage. But more so, trust also comes in there. Trust your partner and love them through the storm. I saw a story the other day of a man, and I posted it on our WhatsApp platform, of a man that married a beautiful young woman, and they were young. And later on in life, a few years later, she developed this horrible cancer. She began to lose her hair. Her hair, and this and this and this and this. And she became a vegetable. And, but he stayed right there with her, carried her when she couldn't walk, carried her. The woman begged him to leave her, to go get his own life. He said, no. When she did, looked ugly and everything, he said, I didn't marry your hair. I married you. And I said, oh my goodness, this is the definition of love in marriage. He stayed right there. He carried her. And by a miracle, it's a true story, by a miracle, you know, she got recovery and she got healed. And then she got back to, you know, strengthening exercises and started to run and things like that. Started to run races and so on. And this man said, I carried you through the storm, I'm still going to carry you every day. And he would wait for her after that race at the finish. She was running the long distances and so forth. And he would carry her at the end of the race, just like he did through the storm. I said, why are you doing it? Because I'm still carrying you. Oh my goodness. That thing blew me away when I saw it. Well, that's what marriage does. You carry your spouse. When they fall, you're there to catch them. But if you are there to witch hunt them even before they fall, you know that your marriage is headed for doom. You know, doomsday marriage. Marriages are based on no trust at all. Either because the trust was eroded or because the other person wouldn't trust. You have to build those things. And you trust them enough that they will be there. We talked about that on the first day when we started this last month. Adam and Eve were naked, but they were not ashamed. They didn't even realize it. They were transparent, and there was nothing to hide. And the other person wasn't picking on them for their nakedness. That's what real marriage is. That's what real love is. You are there with them. You know, we succeed together. I was sharing this with my wife yesterday. The job where I work, which has nothing to do with Bible, it's just a job, healthcare, and so on. They have these pillars, they call them behaviors, that they want. and they put them on a splash screen on your computer. Everybody must use a company-issued computer. And when you log in, you open it up, log into Windows, it's right there. You know, it's like indoctrination. But they're good stuff. You know, one of them says, you know, the first one actually says, we do what is right, not what is easy. And I say, wow, that's good, even for marriage. They're not talking about marriage. They're just talking about their business. And it's a lot of things. We do what is right, what's easy. We, you know, we come out of our silos and come to the table and share ideas. I'm like, that's good. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff they said about nine of those pillars, and but not even a Christian company. One of them said, you know, we celebrate the success, you know, by the trust we build. I said, oh, shared success through the trust we build. I said, oh my goodness, this is good. This is good stuff. And they're not even a Christian, you know, shop, you know. So that's it. That's marriage, you know, shared success through the trust that we build. Another one, and the pillar says, we have candid conversations, even if they are difficult. I said, man, that's communications. And I was learning a lot of things from this thing. That's some stuff I already knew that I could quote scripture for. These people were just putting it out there that I didn't know scripture. Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but they're not quoting scripture. They're just saying things. And I know it's not a Christian company because they have some other things they do, which I don't approve. But these things were out there. And I said, wow. You know, and so a family, every time my children got married, I would speak to them and their spouse that God's going to bless both of you, but together. You know, so, and I was reading that through that yesterday. I was showing it to my wife and said, look, shared success through the trusts that we build. You know, it's a company that can say that, and I'm even Christian. And we who are Christian, that's why Jesus said the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom. They know these things and they follow these principles and it works, whether they are Christian or not. Now, if you as a believer then can build trust, you will share successes. You know, you're not there to tear the other person down. You are there to catch them when they fall. Two of you are better than one. Catch them. Can they lean on you? Or will they be like leaning on a branch that has thorns? When they try to lean on you, you pierce them through, you know? Or are you there like a soft landing, you know, for them? And that's what relationships, that's what building trust is. I trust you are enjoying this. If you are enjoying it, we still have some time. Today is Saturday. I've still got about 30 minutes on the clock, you know? So let's hear your thoughts. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate you so much, sir, for all that you do. Thank you so much. Yeah, for me, it is still another nugget to help my marriage to continue to... Sorry, Baba. To continue to build relationship with my husband, to continue to be his friend, to continue to walk in love. We cannot stop doing this in marriage, otherwise it will go sour. So for me, I take it as another reminder. I take it as, you know, things to do. I think it has something that God is, that is expecting me to do. A particular verse that actually helps me, it's the book of, it's in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 14 and in verse 1. And I'm just going to quickly read it. Let's bear with me. It says the Proverbs 14:1, the wisest, I'm actually reading ESV version. The wisest of women builds a home. That's the A part of it. But the B part of it says, but fully with her own hand stays down.
Let me just read it in KJV version first. That's the one I'm pretty used to. Every wise woman buildeth a house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her own hands. So the A part of it is a duty, responsibility on my shoulder as a child of the Most High God to continually build. And I say this is a big task. To be fair, it is a big task. So to build a house is not an easy thing. You will buy the land, you will dig it, you make the foundation, you will put in so many things into it, that's just the foundation. And then you start building. You start building. You cannot even relent until that house is fully completed. And like you rightly said, we got the certificate even before we started the journey. So we will continue to build even till Jesus Christ comes. That's what I've actually understood. And this, I did not understand it before. From the beginning, it was not so. And that was the truth. Because not too many people sit you down to let you know the bigger picture of what it is that you are actually going into, to be fair. I was like, God, this is really, really big task. Things to do and stuff like that. But the Lord has been faithful. And He still remain faithful. He abides faithful. It has been the mercy of the Lord. It has been His grace that has actually kept me. And I thank God again for this, to continue to build. And I'm going to quickly talk about some of us that are actually have been divorced, actually empathize with you. And it's not because we are better off, not at all, please. It is just because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. But I want to say something in regards to that. That indeed, God understands. He knows what it is you are at. He knows what you're going through. He knows the challenges. But I do know one thing now. That if you knew what you know now, maybe that wouldn't even have happened. Well, if it has happened, you don't have to beat yourself. Some of it is not because you are not a good person. It's just because sometimes things overwhelm us. Things are too much of challenges. And we think the best bet is for us to take to pathways. But thanks be to God. I will say that the one that instituted marriage, the Almighty God Himself, the creator of the whole universe, the one that has us in mind even before the foundation of the world, is the only one that can build anybody's marriage. I've come to that realization. Because, I mean, come to think about it, two people that has not, you know, they have different background, different tribe, everything different. Even the sex itself, a man, there's a way a man reasons, there's a way a woman reasons. Even the anatomical structure of a man is quite different from a woman. And for that reason, there's absolute differences, right? And then these two people who have these different backgrounds are now living under the same roof. My goodness, it must be the Spirit of God that can keep that home, right? So don't you beat yourself. God understands why things happen the way it happens. But if you choose to remarry, please, please, and please, please trust the Holy Spirit this time around. Ensure that it is guiding you directly, because there are so many wolves out there, and all they want to do is to take advantage of somebody who is vulnerable. They want to take advantage of people. Like Daddy said, in fact, there are so many wolves in sheep clothing who goes to church knowing that they know that people of God are very, very, very clean and very trustworthy and very loving and very pleasant and stuff like that. And then they kind of just say, you know what? I know where to get the right people. Let me just go to church and deceive. There are so many people that are out there that deceive a whole lot. Just make sure that you are hearing from your Father. We have been taught on this platform. That's the good news. We have the Word of God that is guiding us, that is leading us. We have the Spirit of God that is teaching us and helping us on every step of the way. Please solely rely on Him. He will not let you down. He will not let you fall. He will not let you down. He will not let you fall. Our God is never weary, and He will not let you fall. He will not let you down. He will not let you fall. Our God is never weary, and He will not let you fall. He will guide you. with his eyes. That's one of the memory verses we were actually given this year, that he will guide us. This is the year of the redeemed. He will redeem us from whatever it is that is out there that want to take us away from him. He will guide us with his eyes. He will guide us. He will lead us. So let allow him to lead. The Bible says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And the Lord himself, he will not allow you to fall again. He will uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. And he will continue to comfort you on every side. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma. And I meet you, my mic. Thank you.
Amen. Lady Ebon, please respond to some of these things.
All right. Thank you so much. Good afternoon again. Good morning. Thank you, Satisi Layo, for that contribution. Yes, you gave a good insight. It's true that we, you know, you've been married for 34 years now. And yeah, it's a good reminder and everything. And thanks for your additional input into this. We appreciate you and your husband and what you're doing. So it's something we keep going. We never stop, you know, you never stop. You keep building and building and building. I'm glad that you changed your Bible verse. I was thinking, what in the world is that? Because I could not understand the version you were reading until when you changed it to the other one. So if you read, this was an article that Sister Mary posted, and that it was an eye-opening article for me. I didn't know. He said that there's some company or the Muslim people, they are, you know, actually working on the Bible, bringing out so many versions and altering so many of the verses to mean something else altogether. So we've got to be careful, all these versions that we are reading, because even the Muslims are doing, they are trying to alter the Word of God. So we've got to be careful what we read, because it can confuse us. So praise the Lord. I just wanted to say that. Thank you very much, Sister Titilayo. I appreciate your, we appreciate those people. You know, it's not their fault that those people that got a divorce or this or that. Sometimes things happen. And, you know, they're not, just like Pastor said, they're not condemned. Most of the people, and God, Jesus showed us an example. The people that they put in that script, in the Bible as examples, are people that have married 5 times. The woman at the well, the woman that was supposed to be stoned, caught in the act of adultery, was forgiven right there. You know, and they say, go and sin no more. So showing us that it's not when someone is saints, it doesn't mean the end of life for them. They can be redeemed. You know, they can be redeemed. And all he told her is go and sin no more. And the other woman became, and most of the people they use in the Bible, they are, you know, these powerful women. Some of them are harlots. Some of them, you know, they have bad past, but God erased everything and blessed them. Even the thief on the cross. And we see all this. So thank you, Sister Titilayo, for that. I wanted to go back a little bit to respond to some of the things Pastor said. In the first place, I didn't even know that he remembered the incident, because he claimed to me, so you're hearing it now, that I have a good memory of things that happened in the past, and he doesn't really, really remember. But when he was saying, I said, oh, so you remember all this? I didn't know you remembered all of them. So, yeah, that thing that happened that time, was, we're laughing now. It's about 52 years now. Because then we just actually, maybe we met like a year or so when that happened. And something was telling me, this is a time to call it quit, because if this is what is going to be happening, you better call it quit now. And it was a good thing we had a good communication. We said exactly what was wrong. And that's what people do sometimes. They break up, they won't even tell their other person why they're breaking up. Or they want to break up. They are in a relationship, in a courtship. They won't tell. They just say, okay, I want to break up. What happened? They won't say it. But if you say what's happened and it's something that can be fixed, you know, the other person, you know, I was humbled when he said, you know, I will make sure this doesn't happen again. And I will take care of it. I won't make, this will not happen again. And I found this as here to be humble yourself, to your partner, to say, well, you know what? Yes, what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. I will make sure it doesn't happen again. And, did it happen again? I tell you what, yeah. Tell you what, even when, you know, he said, you know, quick, like, go walk fast than me, fast, and I have to catch up with him. And I always, then that memory always come back to me. Well, wow, this guy is doing it again. He's walking past me. He's walking too fast for me. Why can't he just stay behind me and then we'll stay side by side, you know, something like that. And then, you know, and then we kept fixing it. Sometimes you have to fix something many times in order to make it right, you know. And don't be frustrated. Just keep fixing. Because love is kind. Love can endure. Love can, you know, they can wait and really, really fix things and make sure if it get fixed at the right time. So I thank God for all that we have been talking about here. If you have any contribution, please jump in and add to that.
Yes,
okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Ma. Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, Pasiato. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to jump in and say a couple of things. First of all, thank you for this room. I think it's a very intuitive and helpful room. And the shares this morning have been very powerful. I really love this discussion on companionship, friendship, love, and trust. And I found a lot of things you guys said very interesting. And I just kept on thinking to myself on the matter of what Mommy Ebun just touched on about love, enduring, and all of that. And I was thinking to myself as we were talking that we are privileged to have a relationship with God and understand it, because I believe it's a blueprint to us being prepared also for this eternal life relationship with our spouse, whether those of us who are married or those of us who are preparing for that. Because God teaches us how to endure with Him. Because when you come to Him, you know, many times we are not as loyal as we think we are to God. And He endures, you know. He loves us and He's there to build us up. And I just think that it was very practical, the discussion today, on how to do that together as individuals and to learn to be patient and to work together. And as Mommy Ebun just shared in our story about how, you know, you guys were not always, you know, it wasn't like that safe. It took time and it took that continuous going. So we should remember, especially us Christians and us believers, like you said earlier, Pasiato, I think that was what I took as an encouraging message this morning, that as we take our time to build that friendship and that companionship and that love and that trust, and to also reflect on our relationship as we are reflecting on our relationship with God. Because, you know, it took us some time for us to get to a place whereby I don't feel like God can, you know, trust us. So that's what I want to say, sir. I yield my mic, sir. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Duke. You know, thanks for jumping in. We want to hear your voice if you're here. I mean, we're talking on, this is a marriage and family session. Today's topic happens to be on companionship, friendship, love, and trust. You know, these are pillars that can help us through our relationship. If that relationship is, you know, if you're on a journey towards marriage, you can learn, you know, to lean on these pillars and develop these pillars. If you're already in a relationship, learn to go back and build these pillars. If you're in your marriage, you know, you must invest on time. You know, some of the things that, you know, we were talking about, we're sharing our own story, part of our story. And I was laughing when she was saying that I'm going to go out for a walk. I mean, she always used to quote that scripture, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You know, I'm a lot quicker. You know, I mean, I used to do track and field, so I'm much smoother and quicker on my feet. And, but she just wanted to take a stroll. I'm like, no, you know, this is my exercise period. And she's like, well, we can do that. You can do that. You know, wait for me and so on. So anyway, took me some time to figure it out. And later, eventually, I had to figure it out. We were already married now. but we're still figuring things out. I see. Can you imagine? Took me some time. I had to figure out, okay, well, why don't you just go along with the lady? You know, she wants you to slow down. Let's slow down already. And, you know, you can go for your run or your sprint when she's not there. But when she's there, slow down. Praise God. You know, so it took time. Like, look, let me tell you something about our marriage. If you guys think that, oh, we have, you know, figured it out. No, we're still figuring it out. You say, are you kidding? No, we are still figuring it out. I mean, that's why we got the certificate at the beginning, because there's no end to figuring it out. So you might as well get the certificate at the beginning and still figuring it out, you know. So we're still discovering things, you know, and we're even learning from people who are younger. It's not, this is the last, I detest even thinking that, oh, because we've been married for 50 years, therefore we're better. I detest that thought. I don't even want to entertain that thought. We're learning. There was a time we used to do this marriage workshop thing in our church. We did it until COVID. And I always enjoyed to hear from the young couples. They were always looking forward to hear from us. But no, I wanted to hear from them. And there were a lot of things that they were doing better, you know, even though they had just been married 3, 4, 5 or so years. We may have been married for a long time and still figuring it out. But one thing that we figured out, that we've got under our belt, is we know how to figure it out. So, you know, if you want to learn how to figure it out, well, that's us. Because we've known how to stay there and figure it out. There's no exit clause. Just figure it out. And when figuring out, and we're enjoying it too. Once we figure it out, we enjoy it. We learn something. We move on. We're still enjoying it. You know, and we're building it, not just a healthy marriage, but a happy marriage. Healthy starts from using healthy principles, but it will lead to a happy marriage. We don't want people to be married, just stay there and be completely destruct in their lives, but they're just hanging there just because they need to hang in there. No, we want your marriages to not only be healthy, but also happy. God wants your marriage to be like that too. I mean, why are you going to spend all your life and not be happy? Be happy, you know, but discarding the marriage, thinking that you will find happiness somewhere else may not be the solution. You know, some people say devil, you know, better than devil you don't know. I'm not calling your spouse a devil, but you don't know what's out there. And if you think you're going to start over, why can't you invest time in the one that you are in now? I mean, Jesus even gave them an exit clause. He said, well, except for fornication, in a marriage, adultery, whatever. But even then, scripture talks about forgiveness. The same Jesus that talked about that, talked about forgiveness. You know, is there no room for forgiveness even if there has been infidelity in the marriage? Should there be infidelity? Absolutely not. But even if there was, you know, could there be forgiveness? Well, that's easier said than done. Because people feel betrayed and all of that. Yeah. But if you want to go start your, I've read a testimony of a couple that went through that. It took a lot of building up again to get through that. But finally, they were strengthened again. Those building up years are difficult. There are many ways to avoid that. There are many ways to avoid infidelity and all of that. You know, we talked about, setting boundaries. I just alluded to it. We didn't really talk about it. Alluded to setting boundaries. I was on Clubhouse some years ago when we first joined. I used to go from one room to another listening to what people were saying. And we got to this place. There was this, I might call them a power couple. They were famous people, maybe Hollywood style or whatever, you know. I don't consider them power like that in, you know, my line of teaching and stuff. But they had their own stuff, and they were good, and they were, you know, believers in their own way. And, you know, so this woman was saying that, when, you know, one day they were celebrating their anniversary and we went there. It wasn't, you know, anything close to the number of years that we had, but, you know, we went there anyway. And she said something that was very striking. She knew that her husband was a very young, you know, handsome man, and he would be desirable by many women and stuff like that. She thought she was blessed to have him. He thought he was blessed to have her. And she said in her mind that she was always praying, let me be the woman that he desires. I said, my goodness, never heard any such thing. And that was her focus. I want to be everything that he wants, so he will not be looking anywhere else. And she was saying it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I never thought about it in that angle. Now, does that give the man the right to be looking around just because his wife is not everything he wanted? No. You're in a marriage and a commitment. You don't say, let your eyes be single. But I'm telling you that these are things, you know. These are things, even when we are raising children, it's the same things, you know. Children want, you know, they want that stability, they want that security. You know, when they don't feel that they have it, then they'll be looking elsewhere, you know. A partner doesn't feel they have it, they'll be looking elsewhere. Should they? No, they're condemned for it, you know. I mean, they're judged for it, or that's what I'm saying, not condemned, but you're judged for it. And they will account for it. Should they be doing it? Is that an excuse? No. But you are not helping your spouse if you are not, you know, taking care of them. Some people deny their spouse of sexual intimacy for a year, 2 years, and so forth. And then later you grumble that something happened. Well, should something happen? No. Nothing should ever happen. But, you know, were you helping them when you were doing that? Well, of course, you were not. You played right into the hands of the devil when you were doing that. Scripture clearly says, the man has no power over his body, neither the woman. You know, you can't just say no. You know, so be careful what you do, you know, because you may be the one contributing to the downfall of your marriage. You got to be very careful. And don't twist the words, you know, that you hear on lessons that were saying something. One day I was teaching on wisdom and things like that. And I was talking about, you know, a time to say, I was using the story of the foolish virgins and so forth. You know, there was a time they said no, because they said, go buy for yourself. And somebody said, well, Pastor Yadav said, we can say no. You can't use that to go and say no to your husband. That's not what I was talking about. Or your wife, you know. So, no, you know, look, sexual intimacy in marriage is critical to that marriage. Otherwise, it's going to collapse. It's just, that's point blank. Just say it that way. And if you deny them, you're going to be picking up the pieces, you know. So, you know, avoid all that. Paul said it himself. To avoid by the Holy Spirit. To avoid all that. Let every man have his wife. Let every woman have her own husband. And let them render due benevolence to each other. To avoid all these things. It's there in the scriptures. As I often say, if you cannot find an answer to his problem or his solution or something in scripture, then you don't need that answer. Because there is an answer in the scripture for all these things. But we ignore them. When people are blinded with their bitterness and their unforgiveness, they ignore these things. You know, you cannot repair marriage that is in trouble when one person is headstrong that they don't want repairs. You can't do it. You know, it takes two to tango. And it takes two to untangle. I mean, well, okay, one person can actually untangle very quickly. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, look, we've been through situations where we try to talk people through. God has helped us. I mean, there have been some marriages that God used us to restore. We're not always successful in every case, but, you know, in some cases, we're successful. Cases where we've not been successful is when one person is adamant. They're not, they don't want it fixed. Well, if you don't want it fixed, even God cannot help you. You know, so, you know, but if you are determined to invest in fixing your marriage if there is trouble. And you need to start working on it on the first signs of trouble. Don't wait until the whole thing has fallen apart. When you see cracks in a house, when we're teaching and I was doing my wisdom series, I talked about that. When you see cracks in the house, it's probably the pillars of the house that are shifting and they're not sitting just right. If you don't fix it, then the whole thing will collapse eventually. So that's when we need to start to deal with it. Fix the cracks. Nourish the relationship. You know, if those cracks, and have candid, you know, candid conversations. Don't stay in your silos and just dismiss the whole thing. Candid conversations. If they're not spending quality time with you and that's what you need, bring it to their attention. And if they're bringing it to your attention, be ready to, you know, do something about it. You know, the Bible says, and the principles, my wife and I were discussing this yesterday, the principles that are in the Bible for your brother, your Christian brother and your Christian sister, they apply to your marriages as well. You know, like, you know, let love be without dissimulation, you know, in honor, preferring one another, you know, and so forth. These things apply not just to your Christian brother and your church, it applies to your wife and your husband. If you cannot prefer and honor them, you only want your own way, marriage will fall apart. Many marriages are falling apart because people are not willing to bend over backwards to support their spouse. You know, when they are making demands, it is because they need support on that area. Now, some demands can be unreasonable. You know, we know that. But generally speaking, you know, when they are crying out like that, it's because they need support in that area. So you got to be willing to try. You may be trying and still not be get it right, but at least you're willing to try. And when you are willing to try, your spouse must also recognize that you are trying and encourage that trying. We talk about positive reinforcement even for children. Why can't you use that for your spouse? You know, positively reinforce them when they are trying, acknowledge that they are trying. They may not be perfect, but they are trying. But if they say, I'm not going to do it. I can't deal with that. I'm up to here. I'm out of here. Then nobody can help them. Nobody can help that situation. But our hope and purpose is that this series will help to prevent you from getting into that situation. And if you've been through that situation once, you don't ever want to be through it again. There are resources that can help. We didn't have these resources when we were getting married. There was no lesson anywhere to go for. Even in my country back then, when we were getting married, there was no such thing as marriage counseling. The only marriage counseling you got, you know, was a few words here and there from your parents when you were about to get married, you know. But that wasn't enough. Nobody taught us anything. I mean, I spent many years in school. Some years in college. I have 2 degrees and all these things. My wife spent years. She has 2 degrees and all these things. I mean, I'm a subject matter expert in many areas in information technology. But all those years, I have never heard or learned or any training on marriage. And yet this marriage is the place where I'm going to spend most of my life. That's why platforms such as this, or, you know, shared lessons and discussions such as this can be very helpful and critical. That's our hope and plan. And we hope as we go through, you know, that we will be discussing multiple topics. Today was this topic. Next time could be something else. But we are trusting that you will benefit from these things. Keep coming to these lessons. Someday we might even have an in person on the ground, something seminar like that to bring people together and you get to practice and enjoy and have some fun and so forth. Well, you say, I'm not married. So somebody actually said that to us one time, said, well, I'm not married. I don't need to come to this lesson. Huh? It's your choice. But if you think you can benefit from it, then by all means, you know, feel free to come. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I did not shun to declare to you the full counsel of God. So that's what we're trying to do. This should be a fully rounded platform. You know, you get everything. It's a buffet. you know, get everything. One time the Lord told me a parable. It was like a parable. Speaks to me in parables. And, you know, there was this buffet. You can pick anything you want. Well, what are you going to pick? You know, you can take them all too if you want. You know, there was a time we had, you know, a placard made for our, you know, evangelism team. We call them Soul Winners Action Team. They still use those things when they go out. My favorite one that says, you know, Jesus is healer, savior, deliverer, you know, something like that. Has these, you know, things that Jesus can be. And I love that one. That's my favorite one. Sometimes when we go out and I look for it, I don't have it because somebody already picked it. But every time I have it, I take it and show it to people. I say, hey, here's a menu. Which one do you want? Oh, you can have them all. It can be your savior. It can be your deliverer. It can be your healer. And also your Lord. Which one do you want? Or you can have them all. You know, that's the thing with the Lord. It can be any and every of these things. Somebody was telling us yesterday in the other room, or I don't know if it was yesterday, that I am that I am. And they used that as a testimony of how the Lord revealed himself to them, that he can be whatever to them that they want him to be in any situation of their life. And that's it. Jesus can help you if you are struggling in your marriage. Jesus can help you if you are still figuring out, struggling with decisions of who to marry. For women, it's even more difficult if you are in the culture where the woman does not propose. And you have to wait. It's difficult. If you are, you know, single again because of what has happened, the Lord can help you. He is beautiful for every situation. What's your need? What is it that you need? And if you don't let the Lord help you, he showed me this also one time, you know, standing before the Lord, I heard questions being asked of people. Why didn't you let me help you with that? I'm like, oh my goodness. And there was some kind of, you know, recognition or awareness or I don't want to call it fear because there's no fear in his presence, but there was this kind of thing I say, or caution. That's right. Caution is the word. There's no fear in his presence. It was like, caution now, because you're going to have to deal with that question from the Lord. Why didn't you let me help you with that? That's a question that you're going to have to deal with. Every one of us, any situation that we're struggling with, and you do it your own way. It's not that I'm gone from the subject of marriage now. I'm now talking as a pastor. When you are, whatever you are dealing with in your life, you take matters into your hands and you don't let God help you with it. Well, someday you're going to have to answer the question, because he said we shall all give account of ourselves. The Lord was expanding to me what that means. And one of it that is, one day you're going to hear the question. It will send chills down your spine that says, why didn't you let me help you with that? Yeah, that's the thing. So I pray that all of us today will yield our lives to the Lord for help. Help in your marriage. Helping your relationships, helping making decisions. One sister was talking about building your house and not tearing it down. Well, help with that too. You know, if you find out that you're the type of person that's, you know, prone to trying to tear things down rather than build them up, why are you not letting God help you with that? You know, a man also is responsible for keeping his house together. Jesus said it himself. He said, if the good man of the house had watched in the spirit, he would not have allowed his house to be broken up. So the man is jointly responsible. Actually, I think the first responsibility lies on the man. But the man was first made and then the woman. So men have a responsibility of holding the fort, keeping your house together, making sure the thief doesn't come in there and break it up. And if you allow the thief to come in there and break it up on your watch, well, you're going to have to answer the question, why didn't you trust me to help you with that? What are you dealing with? You're dealing with sickness. You're dealing with anything, dealing with other challenges in other areas, unanswered prayers, lingering things, and so forth. Why are you not letting me, the Lord, help you with that? Don't turn to your own understanding. Proverbs 3 and 5, powerful scripture. In all your ways, acknowledge. Don't never lean to your understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust him to help you. Whenever, whatever you are going through, trust the Lord through the process. Not exactly trust the process. People say that, but that's inaccurate. It is the Lord that you must trust. You must keep your eyes on him through the tempest and through the storm. And look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look straight on. Unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Don't look to the left, to the right. He will help you. And if you find yourself sinking, like Peter, cry out. And he will help you. Praise the Lord. He will always help us. Well, that's been a full 3 hours already since we started this room today. And we're going to have to wrap it up here. There is a time for everything, a time to start and a time to end. So the time to end this room has come. I've given 3 hours of the day to this lesson today. So we want to thank everybody for sharing part of your Saturday with us. You could have been doing anything else, but you were doing this. And we hope that it was a blessing.